Can you keep still?
I'm so squeaky.
If you don't lean on the table, it doesn't bang as
I'm
much.
I'm not leaning on the table now. Right. Paul, just to be clear, can I just be clear about one thing?
Yeah.
I said your mum earlier, not muff. I was referring to your mum. Hi, everyone. Oh, I thought that'd work better. That didn't work. Oh, this is
hello,
working.
Tom. How you doing, mate? Welcome to the podcast. Nice to see you back on Cheap Show.
Yeah, good. I'm really glad that Cheap Show did a sort of back reference to something that was before the podcast.
Yes. Well, we don't often like to let everyone in on our secrets.
Now, you see what I was doing there.
Oh, actually, here we go. This is where he takes his fumble and turns it into
fucking
art.
You've been doing this almost 10 years, this podcast. You allude to something that was said before the recording began, and then people wonder. They think, ooh, the what, romance. Ooh,
what did Eli say about
and they try and reconstruct
Paul's
it, and they're
mom.
Involved, and there's engagement, and there's a heady engagement.
Right, Tom, before we get started, you need to pick a side right now. Are you going to go Team Gannon or Team Eli
this
week?
Why is it so squeaky? I don't like it here.
Swap chairs. There's a chair behind you. Swap it.
Can I?
Yes.
This is very squeaky.
The chair behind
you
is much more stable.
I'm sorry, everybody.
That's a very squeaky chair. Stop saying hello.
Hello, everyone. It's me. Hello.
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 Hi, Tom.
Tom's here.
Are we going to introduce Tom properly, please?
Well, we can. Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, you don't have to. I don't really care.
Well, in that case, goodbye, Tom. No longer welcome onto the Cheap Show podcast. You've shown your true colours, just like the Cyndi Lauper song of the same name. Christ.
True colours shining through.
Can I tell you a really embarrassing story? Right, I was in Disneyland.
That is embarrassing.
It's fucking not. I'm happy to be a Disney adult. You're on the fucking ropes already this week, you. So I was in Disney, and I think it was the Honey I Shrunk the Kids ride. And at the beginning, because it was sponsored by Kodak, you went into this kind of cinema with 360 like projections around you, and it was like pictures of like families playing and industry and like utopian ideals.
Florida, the Florida park
might have been California.
Sound like LA.
It might be California. Either way,
sorry, California.
The whole visual thing was scored by Cyndi Lauper's True Colors, and I'm sitting there overwhelmed by the images, and I cried in front of everyone.
She did True Colors, Material Girl. What was her other big one?
Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Wow.
Also, didn't do Material Girl. That's Madonna.
Of course, I always get that confused. She only did True.
Right.
What are the hits? What are the Lauper hits? What are they? Because it's a
True Colours.
That's such a great tune.
Girls Just Want to Have Fun, which is not her song. We know this. We've talked about this before. It's a cover.
Is it?
Yeah. You've got the original, haven't you?
It's Cyndi Lauper. She wrote that. You're being
weird
now.
She didn't read that, write that. Hello, welcome to Cheap Show.
I mean, she did read it before she sang it.
Yeah, she did. She had to read it on the page.
Thank you, yeah.
Don't back him up just by being factually incorrect.
No, because he's like, he loves it. It's the erosion of language. It's my theory of the Gannon erosion of language.
Yeah?
Like, just little words that are wrong all the time. And it just becomes a noise.
4 minutes of cold open. It's not worth it.
Fine.
This isn't worth it.
I'm fine with 4 minutes. It's always fucking 4 minutes.
It's
always
not.
About 4 minute point. You look over there, you go, oh God, 4 minutes. All right? So let's do that bit.
I fucking lamp you this week.
Don't, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to fucking Cheap Show.
Press the fucking credits.
Paul Gannon, Eli Silverman. Welcome to Cheap Show.
Sources and words and phrases. Two things I'm responsible for.
Chodney Borough.
I hate you. You're fucking evil posse.
Cheap Show time. Cheap Show time.
It's the price of shite.
Cheap Show time.
Welcome to Cheap Show. Yes, it's episode 401 of the Cheap Show podcast. Oh, baby doll, I'm Paul Gannon. With me is
Eli Silverman, as usual.
And our very special guest for this week's episode, why, it's returning comedian.
Oh, baby doll. It's Tom Mayhew.
It's Tom Mayhew in the house.
Now, Tom, the last time we were all together in a room, he was slapping his own stomach red raw for the amusement of a baying crowd. Remember?
I do remember, yeah. In a way, it was his finest moment.
It
did
was.
Did we drink
it
afterwards?
Was.
Did we have a pint or something after that gig?
I can't remember.
We went outside,
didn't we? It was
an old, smelly room full of old pinball machines.
No, what are you talking about?
No, there was old arcade machines.
Yeah, yeah. Where?
In the back, the sort of the green room, which wasn't a green room.
It was like a pool. It was a little arcade thing.
And I get it.
They didn't work. They were just there. No. And we were like, oh, this would be really exciting if they worked.
Yeah.
But they didn't, because it was just like, here's what you could have won.
Here's what you could have been enjoying while you were waiting for your show to start.
Yeah, the stage was well sticky up there. But good. I'm glad it was nice enough anyway.
It was a good sticky stage. You like a good sticky. And besides, I was slapping my tum-tum and it was a crowd pleaser. So I will be doing that again in October 19th. If you want to see this tum get fucking slapped, I'm going to slap it. October 19th.
I don't think you should, Paul.
I'm going to do it every live show now. I'm going to make it more and more elaborate every time.
This shouldn't be a bit, mate. I'm going to say it should not be. Shouldn't be your signature bit that you do every time.
Come to see Paul slap Tommy Gannon at the stage near you tonight. I think people would come to my tum.
That's what Chevy Chase used to do, isn't it? What,
slap my tum?
No, he used to just do a pratfall. That's how he got into comedy, just pratfalling.
By pratfalling. Well, yeah,
they were good pratfalls.
No, they were fine.
He used to do them on TV. I haven't seen any, but he just like fall through a table on Saturday Night Live. And then everyone was like, yeah, give that guy a huge movie career.
And they did. And for a couple of years, it was a wise choice. Nah, come on. I mean,
he's not the world's greatest movie star. That's all I'm saying.
Chevy Chase. I just want to do a podcast about...
Is he the world's greatest movie star?
No.
I mean, I'd say he's probably in the top five.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, movie podcast.
No, we're not doing a movie
podcast.
I'm
into movies. No, all right then, Paul.
Oh, I saw Beetlejuice on Saturday. Yeah.
Where, in the cinema?
No. I had it beamed directly into my head from Warner Brothers HQ.
They could have been streaming.
Yeah. It was a streaming. It was a lobe stream where they beam it into your lobes. Mm. Yeah, I've had a chip put in. I'm not doing this bit.
You've had a chip put in for lobe streaming.
I'm not doing this bit. I don't like it. I'm backing out.
All right, let me then.
It was good. I liked it.
Really?
Yeah,
yeah, that's what people have been saying.
If you liked the first one, I would be surprised if you didn't like the second. There you go.
Not as good as the first one, though.
No.
But lower stakes.
No. It's a weird plot. It's got a very strange plot, and it has a few genuine surprises in, and it was surprisingly gory at times as well. But lots of fun.
How many Chevys out of 10?
Definitely 7.5 Chevys.
We should for Star Factors on movies, we call them Chevys. After the great man himself.
All right, so...
I used to have Fletch on VHS and watched it quite a lot.
Well, there you go. Good.
That bit where he gets...
Yeah? Do you want to...
He's fingered up the arse.
Yeah, and he goes, Blue Moon River.
That's a good bit, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it's a good... No, it's good. Let's talk about fucking movies and write everything with Chevys.
Fletch.
We'll call it the Chevy Chase Podcast. I bet some cunt's done that as well.
I've driven past a road called Chevy Chase.
There's quite a few Chevy Chases, though. Yeah. What do you want a fucking badge for that for?
I want a badge for that, please.
Yeah.
Anyway,
hello, Tom. We should.
Can I
go on? Oh, you're going to do a nice little Hitler salute.
I'm
going to pay attention.
Hitler salute, please.
Yeah. All right, then I will. If you said please, we're both doing it.
Oh, everyone's doing it in here. That feels weird now, guys.
Eli.
What? You mean I get to be anyway?
For a moment, Eli was tickled with the idea he got to be a dictator.
Now, Paul.
Yeah.
What have we got coming up on the show? That's what I was going to say, to sort of move this.
Well, no, but let's talk to Tom. Hello, Tom. How are you? How are things since you were last on the podcast?
Yeah, they're all right. Yeah.
It's good.
I'm glad to be back.
You're still doing the old comedy.
Occasionally.
Yeah, you're still. How's the Radio 4 series going?
Well, they've not recommissioned it.
But you got two out of them, didn't you?
I got two series. Yeah,
yeah, that's good.
Got paid to be on the radio and everything.
Yeah, that's good, though. Most people don't get one. I didn't get one.
You didn't ask for one?
I have asked for one back in the day. Me and a friend of mine were writing sketch comedy for Dead Ringers back in the day.
Yeah. What friend?
His name was Jem Roberts. He also writes books now. He wrote a book about Blackadder and the Sorry Having a Clue Bible.
Douglas Adams,
he did, and Beatles. So he's, and Fry and Laurie. But we were back in the day a little writing. No, he hasn't Python.
He ain't done the Python.
No, but he's done Neil Innes and like Throttles, and that's all the same kind of ecosystem. Anyway, the point is that we were a sketch double act writing thing, and we wrote for Dead Ringers, and then we got the chance to pitch a sketch show to a woman called Dawn Ellis, who at the time was producing Shuttleworth.
Ah.
And it went nowhere.
Oh, well.
Who was going to be in your sketch show?
Me and him.
Yeah, it needs more Chevy Chase.
It needs more Chevy. That's what Dawn said. If you can get Chevy Chase for this project, and it was, what, 2001? I bet I could have.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That'd be a bit of a long shot, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Something more important happening now, Mr. Silverman. I thought...
It's Chevy. He's texting.
Yeah, it's Chevy texting.
Oh, no. Someone's responded to a photo of that hot sauce that we've been sent, Paul, that I'll be tasting later in the show, everybody.
Yeah, if we ever fucking
it's fermented, and he's sent a fucking Patrick Bateman in American Psycho gif, where he goes, ooh, ooh, like, ooh. Like unfettered capitalist excess.
You're going to keep on doing that until one of us laughs, aren't you?
Ooh, baby, one of you happen. Will.
Nah.
One of you fucking will.
I won't let it happen.
I will. I'll laugh at me.
Oh, you got me with that one.
I got you both.
You got me both. Right, I tell you what, we will say a couple of things. So
about what's coming up in the show.
What you just reminded me of, Eli, was what one of my favourite things I've ever seen at an open mic comedy gig was a guy who was clearly very new, about five gigs in,
yeah.
And he said a joke, and no one reacted, and there was just a couple of seconds of silence, and he just went, laugh then! And it made everyone laugh, because yeah. They were just like, this guy has no idea what he's doing.
And then he locked that bit into his set for the next 5 weeks, thinking that that was the moment where he nailed his content. Christ. No, on the show today, we
well, he
are
did.
Doing...
He learned something, didn't he, there?
Yeah, he did.
About persona.
It could have been timing.
In stand-up, didn't he? Rather than gags, you know what I mean? The difference between a gag
and that man
and just doing a bit
is now James Acaster.
Star of Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire.
Frozen Turd Empire.
Three Chevys. That's my review. Right, we have got some more soda this week. We've been asked about it on Twitter, on the socials, so we're tackling it today. We'll keep it a little bit of a secret, but we're looking forward to it.
Can I ask our guest?
Yeah?
Tom, what are your views vis-a-vis fizzy drinks and that?
I like them.
Any particular favourite brands or, you know, families of brands?
I like Coke. I like Fanta. I like Pepsi.
Hell, you like Pepsi and Coke?
I like Sprite.
So you're not picky?
I like Tango.
You're not a picky, you just like a fizzy one.
7-Up.
This feels like a piss poor segment of That's Life.
Well, that's what the show is essentially about, Paul.
Strawberry Mirinda, that's nice.
Oh, I don't rate Mirindas.
Oh, you're a fucking idiot, mate.
No, we had an orange Mirinda, didn't we, recently, and it was very poor.
It was mid. It did better than, like, the Tango,
no.
Didn't it?
You are right. No, that was the one we undersold, and it ended up being a slight surprise.
So, I mean, come on. Some knowledge. I uncover knowledge about fizzy drinks in our guests. That's value. I'm giving value to the podcast.
Why, after 400 episodes, are you now trying to justify your role in this show?
I don't know, man.
It genuinely sounded like you're trying to justify it for tax purposes or something. Like, I do give value to this project.
Yes. Also, I do want to do something a little bit serious right now, and I do want to get it out of the way. So at the end of 400, you know, we had a list of all the
serious?
Patreon names.
Like, how serious?
Not very serious, right, but serious that I want to talk in some reasonably sensible
terms.
Yeah, I
don't want to get serious, man.
It's not that serious.
Well, it's just about that eye. It's on just, your on your chest.
What? It's nothing about it. That's Wild Stallions.
No, that weird sort of third eye you have on your chest.
That is an erect penis, sir, and it reaches the nape of my neck. Right.
God.
Woo.
I'm trying to be serious.
Nape of the neck, like. Maybe drop the nape of the neck stuff, mate. So it's like it's fucking yourself in the neck.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
Right under the Adam's apple.
Good, I'm glad we've gone there.
I'm not bashing my Adam's apple for you.
Oh, I'm so proud.
God, so the serious bit is that...
About your knob gnashing.
Knob
yep,
apple.
At the...
Sorry, I have to turn my phone off. Sorry.
Please
everyone.
Do. While you're doing that, I'll just say, at the end of episode 400, we had a list of all our Patreon supporters that we pulled straight from Patreon.
Oh, and some were left out.
And some people say, I didn't see my name. And I was like, I don't know. We pulled everything, the complete list. And if you're missing on that, we apologise. So what I'm going to say is this. If you are a backer on Patreon and you think your name was missing, or you saw it was missing, email us. And then what we'll do is on the next cheap shot, I will put a title card at the end with all those Patreon supporters that are missing.
And explain the cheap shots to people, please.
Cheap shots are our fortnightly YouTube videos where me and him just dick about for a bit for a laugh. That's it, really.
Dick out and about.
Right, good, right. So we're doing sodas, and then after that, we're doing a guest-focused Gannon's Golden Games, or at least a Paul's Pleasant Pastimes.
Yes, very much focused on your other work, your other podcasting work, Tom.
Yes. We'll be
Which
allowing you to
What's
talk
that
about that.
Your snooker podcast?
I don't know why you...
Was I not meant to say it? What? Snooker!
No, but even if you didn't say snooker, he still would have said it's a snooker podcast.
What's your snooker podcast called?
Oh, fuck.
Tell us!
I feel like I'm on Parkinson. This is great.
This is like Letterman or something.
Hello, Letterman.
You be the funny guy who does the sketch things.
like the, my sidekick.
All right.
So you've got a podcast that's all about like snooker. Tell us a bit more about that, Tom. What's going on with that?
I'm mainly worried about that guy over there. Has he had some sort of breakdown or what's
meh.
Junty Munty.
Junty Munty. Meh.
I didn't mean like that, Paul.
Meh. I'm Junty Munty.
Right. Yes, Junty. Have you got something for us? Something topical? I think we're gonna have to pull this
Junty Munty.
We're gonna have to pull this bit.
Sorry. Well, thanks for having me on Letterman. It's been great.
Things have gone downhill pre-COVID, post-COVID.
I'd much rather have been the band member who stands across the way and hoots and hollers. That's
better. What I was going to say.
No, I thought you were talking about some fucking puppet or something at the end of the row that
you
did
stuff. You didn't pick up on my subtle clues.
You weren't very clear, were you?
You know, like in Gary Shandling's show, the guy, he's like the side guy, you know?
Yeah, does I want to be the band member who just goes, woo, and then goes, when you say something funny. But because you never will, I won't play a single instrument, will I?
I think we've cleared up something already. I've said something, at least one thing funny.
Just ask him about his podcast.
I've been trying. He's been very demure.
I mean, to be fair, I was interrupted by someone going.
I was Junty Munty, not me.
Right, well, fuck off, Junty Munty. We're trying to have a serious interview here.
Come on.
Oh, fucking hell.
Do it. What's your podcast?
Oh, it's a podcast that I do.
Yeah. Come on, what is it?
How many episodes you done?
Have you done more than us?
No. Nah. I've done about 50.
That's still okay, good,
that's,
though.
That's reasonable.
That's good, though. That's you getting your wings now, mate.
Is it always just you?
No, me and my friend Joe, and we chat about snooker in a stupid, silly comedy way, and we talk about... It's got some bits that are quite similar to Cheap Show, really.
Oh, we'll have to get our lawyers involved
not
now.
Not in a, oh, we've nicked it, but in a...
It's not as if we're the most bastion of originality, so...
We have bits where we have one section called Cue the Music, where we talk about songs that are quite crap songs released by snooker players and or people related to
funny,
snooker.
It's funny that there's such a rich vein of snooker-based...
I've got British a rich snooker. Vein of... Oh, my God! Oh.
Is. Paul! No! Not acceptable. That's not acceptable, man.
I've reached the part of this show, Will. We've done it for so long, I've just given up on quality. Oh. Continue, Tom.
I want to hear more about your rich vein, to be honest.
Wow, rich vein, as in what? Big?
Just really thick and prominent.
Yeah, right. Why would you never describe a vein as rich, though, would you?
It is.
I mean, prominent implies that it kind of overshadows the rest of the penis.
This is what I'm envisaging.
It's a small vein in the dick.
It's just a big,
huge, spurting vein of a tiny dick.
Cock on the side.
Stop, right. We need to do a set list. I'm going to taste this hot sauce. We need structure.
Do it, all right, quickly. Why isn't it here?
Because it was sent by someone. Are we going to mention their name?
Why isn't it?
Where's the letter?
I don't know. You have it all. I gave you everything. Right, we're going to take a quick break while you get the sauce. See you in a bit. We'll go straight into the drinks as well.
Okay.
All right?
Yes.
You're a very naughty boy. You were complaining about table and glasses, and have I set everything up and is everything ready? And here you are, shitting the bed.
We'll do the sauce at the end of the drinks because we don't want to spoil our palate with the sauce, which is a hot sauce, everybody.
We'll go and get it. See you in a bit. It's that time of the show, you know, where we have a fizzy drink or two. But a bum, it's that part of the show, you know, where we have a fizzy drink, a little fizzy drink, a lovely fizzy drink with two. What a bum.
Of two.
That's my new jingle.
Or two.
Or two. We have a fizzy drink or two, but a bum.
Doesn't matter how many drinks we have.
We have a little drink or two, but a bum.
We could have three.
We could have four.
We could have five.
We could have six.
More.
Oh.
More than five. Not worth going into.
We've ruined this now.
Because they're soft drinks. They aren't alky drinks, they're soft drinks.
We're having soft drinks today. Tom, you will be enjoying some of the soft drinks that we've been sent, bought, or... No, that's it. That's the two options.
Now, we tasted some orange cola last time.
Correction. For our top-tier patrons, they got to see us test the German brand of orange cola drinks. But we saved the main brand for this.
This is the main brand, the Paul and Espezi.
Yes.
And we have a sugar and non-sugar version.
Mm.
Coke mixed with orange flavourings.
Which is apparently a big thing in Germany.
Is it not just like Fanta?
No, Fanta, because Fanta's just this is good.
This is good discussion. He's asking questions.
He delves straight in.
Don't be, afraid. Just get in and ask questions.
You're right in suggesting that Fanta is in fact a Coca-Cola product, which it in fact is, of course, and is in fact what German...
What is?
Coke turned into during the Second World War.
Well, I've got a thing
and then was
here.
Rebought by the American Coca-Cola company, so it's always been Coke, Fanta. Anyway.
And Coke bought, like, didn't they buy, was it, what did they buy? Lilt.
Yeah, Lilt's been absorbed into Fanta, hasn't it? Yes.
Tragic news.
I've got an original can of Lilt just accruing massive value.
Do you think that's going to happen? You're going to take it to Antiques Roadshow in about 50
well,
years' time.
Well, I got it because I looked forward to putting content into this podcast, Paul, and I thought we could taste new Fanta Tropical, whatever it's called.
And then taste 50-year-old tin can.
It's from last time. From the past. It's only from last year.
From the bye-bye times.
I haven't had a Red Bull today.
Oh,
that's what it is.
You've had a nice coffee, though. I gave you a nice strong coffee. So that should have some effect on you.
That's quite strong, yes.
And there's a Pepsi there, isn't it? That's got caffeine
I'm
in.
I'm on the cherry Pepsi.
Well, I think you're all right for caffeine.
Well, there's going to be probably some caffeine in the selection we're about to taste today, Paul.
Well, let's have a little quick look, because I looked up Spezi.
Spezi.
Yes, you're Spezi. Right. It is. Is the brand name for a soft drink owned by the Brauhaus Regiel.
Paulaner, they
in
make
Germany.
Great Pilsner. Paulaner's a Pilsner beer, yes.
And for some reason, they're now also, they have branched for a while into this orange cola mix.
It's big in that whole region, Austria, Switzerland, Germany, all around there.
It says here, though, that Spezi is a genericized trademark, and the name is now used in a generic sense for anything that's cola. Orange mix.
Ah, so that's the actual category name for that.
Yeah.
I see.
It's become like when you people say Tippex and you mean correcting fluids, that kind of thing.
So you could say that last on the Patreon video. We were actually tasting other Spezies.
Yes, other types.
Other Spezies.
This is the other one that we tried was Mezzo Mix,
yes.
And that was by Pepsi.
What was it called? Boopy Doopy or something?
No, keep guessing because this is going to be funny. What was it?
Boopy Doopy?
Yeah.
Bisty Misty. It was called...
Come on. Just, if you can give me...
Spritzy Mitzies.
Oh, Christ. He's good. Do you want to have a crack at it?
I was looking at it today. I threw the bottle in the recycling today.
All right, good.
And it was called...
Yummy Chummy.
Can you remember what it was called?
Yeah, because I saw the name just
here. Yeah, what's it called?
It was called...
Schmuckers Muckers.
Yes, it was called Schmuckers Muckers. Actually, you weren't too far away with that one. It was Schwip Schwap.
Schwip Schwap.
Schwip
Schwap.
And okay. Mezzo Mix are the
Schwip
other.
Schwip Schwap was outstanding. Really good. Very, very sort of distinct orange oil sort of zest.
Zest
coming off that, wasn't there?
Yeah. Anyway,
the brand experience.
For this was registered in 1956. They first sold beer under the trademark, and then since the 70s, it has been produced and bottled by another brewery under a franchising agreement.
The Paulaner isn't really them. They don't really do it anymore.
So anyway, so that's it in a nutshell, without just reading the whole Wikipedia page. So, shall we get straight into it then? Because we kind of enjoyed the original, the other ones that we had for the video.
The Schwip Schwap was particularly good.
Have you ever had it before?
No, I feel like I'm missing out. And I'm going to go somewhere and ask for a Schwip Schwap and they're going to look at me as if I'm mental.
Yeah, they might do. Or, you know, they might get you the help you desperately need.
The Schwip Schwap, it's a Spezi? It's a Spezi. Schwip Schwap, it's a Spezi.
I've got a Spezi on me Schwip Schwap.
Oh, here we go.
Sorry. Oh, you've twanged it. You've twanged me Spezi Schwip Schwap.
Look, I've got an actual question about the forthgoing proceedings.
Yeah. Three glasses.
We have the sugar-free.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get the letter for the hot sauce.
Oh, mate, you are a fucking...
Where's the letter for the hot sauce?
You have it.
No, you had the box. You opened the box. Where's that letter for the hot sauce? You have to find it.
Oh, I put it outside. I'll get it.
We'll have to get it in a minute.
Yeah, I'll get it in a minute. Let's just get the drinks done.
This is what I'm trying to say. We have the sugar and the sugar-free. What do we want to taste first?
I think we should try the sugared and then the sugared-free.
Okay, lean over, give me the...
I'll do it. You just keep... Yeah, whatever. We've got three glasses.
I think that's the sugar-free you've got there, Tom.
Yeah. Oh, the Spezi. It's got a nice little purple ring.
Purple ring pull.
Mm-hmm.
Does that have a purple ring pull as well,
no,
Paul?
No, it has a normal...
Maybe that's another thing to distinguish it and make because it's zero.
There we go.
One for Eli.
Looks like Coke because the Schwip Schwap was kind of cloudier than normal Coke. Is this a bit cloudy as well?
Well, they were all cloudy.
Yeah, this is a little bit cloudy. Paul, have a look at that.
Yeah, no, it is. It's very cloudy.
That's the orange juice if you think about it. If you did put like...
Pulp.
Put.
What?
If you did put orange juice into
pulp.
Coca-Cola.
I said pulp. If you did put pulp in.
Not put pulp.
If you put pulp in, of course it would be cloudy.
I didn't. No, I just meant even if you put like Tropicana without the bits in. It would still make it cloudy. Do you see what I mean?
No, you're on your own, mate.
Pol Pot.
Pulp.
Pol Pot. Pork.
Pol Pot. Look, yes, it's a dictator.
This is not a dictator flavoured episode.
Dictator themed restaurant. Pol Pot's pulled pork.
Oh, God. I'd love Pol Pot's pulled pork.
Mussolini linguine.
We must have done this before.
I think we have actually. I think we might have.
Oh God. Are you ready to taste this?
Hitler schnitzel.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That one didn't fly.
No, stop trying. Stop trying. Let's just move on.
Let's just have a little sip of this Spezi orange cola.
Watery.
Yeah, but I quite like this.
It's quite refreshing.
Yeah.
And light.
Yeah. I'm happy with that. That's nice. It's got cola notes. It has those kind of, you know, chocolatey cola notes in there. It also has the orange zesty freshness.
Yeah. Pretty good. Definitely better than the Mezzo Forte or whatever
called. It has that Pepsi syrup thing I don't like.
Mm. What do you think, Tom?
It's all right. In my head, it feels like it's halfway between like a Coke and a Fanta. I'd rather have either a Coke or a Fanta.
Really?
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it is basically the...
It's like, you know when you want Fanta as a kid and your mum's not got it, so she just puts orange squash in Coke.
You see, did she do that?
Yeah.
Did she ever do that with you? I never had that done.
In fairness, we did all have different mums, though.
Yes, we had different mums.
It would be strange if my mum was making you guys squash.
Imagine we found out we all had the same mum and she'd been moving between our families throughout the 80s.
Different personalities and stuff.
Like the most extreme Mrs. Doubtfire you've ever seen.
Yeah.
I'd love to have your mum.
Most people have said that. You know what I mean? I ought.
Now, guys, stop. Get your minds out of the gutter.
Can me and Paul have your mum?
Yeah, spitter.
Please.
Hey,
okay.
Take my wife, please. Ooh-ah.
Now.
Yeah, go on.
Oh, yeah. So you used to have a mum who would put orange squash into cola.
I mean, I've still got a mum.
But why would
this would be a tragic way of finding out.
Yeah, it would be a horrible way of revealing
that. What would you be saving?
Have you killed my mum?
What have you run out of? Water.
Reveal the
truth,
murderer.
You've got orange squash and you've got cola.
Mum murderer.
Are you saying you ran out of Fanta?
Have you killed my mum over this?
No, I haven't. No.
What the fuck, man?
You killed his mum.
He said something incoherent about Fanta mixed with cola there. Oh, no.
Are you fritzing out? What's going on over there?
You admitted to mum murder. You wouldn't have any Fanta in the cupboard, so to make up for it, you would put some orange squash in the Coke.
Thank you.
Here you go. This is like your Fanta.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like the Fanta.
No.
It was like Coke with some squash in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now.
Right, stop pointing. Come on. You're letting us down today.
Eli, we used to have one drink, only one drink available to us, and that was... apple juice concentrate with water. And we used to have that on our cereal. We had to have it on our cereal.
Apple juice on your cereal?
Which was crunchy, that crunchy, you know, the crunchy cereal.
I've had enough of this shit.
Did you live in a cave or something?
We were very close to it.
What?
Not close to a cave, but it was a big old weird house and they were hippies. Anyway.
You had apple juice with water on your...
cereal, yes we did. Yes we did. Different world back then.
I don't want to have your mum anymore. I've changed my mind.
Okay.
And yet I've only wanted her more.
Does she still put apple squash?
Absolutely not.
No?
No. Not that I've seen where she lived for like the last 30 years. But
Have you ever spoken to her about it and been like, what was that about?
No, they don't want to go back there because around that time they were involved with a cult. So they don't want to talk about it, really.
Fair enough.
Now, I like the fact that it always gets brought up, that cult connection, but only when we have guests on.
I know. Because some guests are kind of interested in my backstory.
The apple juice cult. I'm very interested.
In the interim time of all this blather, shut up. I've poured out three sugar-free Spezies.
This is the Spezi sugar-free?
Yeah.
You've got a nice nose, mate. There we go.
It's broken.
Looks like a goose's dick.
I'd give it... Seven Chevys.
Seven Chevy nose.
No. Chevys are only available for movie reviews.
I like movie.
For soft drinks.
I'm like a very good movie.
For soft... Oh, you're rating his nose seven.
A lot
Chevys.
Of people are saying I'm the best movie ever.
Well, I'm saying if it was a movie all about his nose, it would be a seven Chevys.
Seven Chevys.
Oh. Fucking seven Chevs, bro.
Right. Yeah. Are you going to taste this? Stop. Why is everyone talking about my face? I don't need this.
You brought attention to
it. I did not. What did I say?
You had one. And you bring
I
attention.
I had a face.
And you're bringing attention to it.
At least I have a face. This isn't good.
This is none of this.
Look, stop.
You stop. What's going on this week?
No.
Our focus is off. Everyone drink their drinks now. I'm done. Come on.
It's quite different to the sugar version.
The orange is lost, or the cola is lost. Something's lost.
It's definitely more muted, but it's closer to a... It's closer, weirdly, to an actual soda. It's more artificial tasting, definitely.
I don't like the sugar-free shit in this.
What do you think, Tom, of that? Could you tell the difference?
Yeah, that felt less tasty.
Yeah, it's
considerably less tasty.
I would give that a lower score. I much prefer the first one, which I'm surprised by.
I'm going to give it...
The first one was nice and refreshing, and that doesn't have that quality.
Out of 10, I'm going to give it 3 Ramses.
As in who?
Gordon Ramsay. Why not?
Every time you say that now, I see his little tight ass pressing up against the shower, man.
Yeah? How does that make you feel?
I'm neutral, but it's not something I want to think about, really.
All right, okay, good. How many Ramses are you going to get that drink, then?
I liked the sugar one. The sugar one I'd give 4 out of 5.
All right. Would you prefer Rhodes? Like
Gary Rhodes, how dare you? That man died.
I know, for our sins. But what I know, would you rather it be named
Gary
after
Rhodes
him?
Died, okay?
Yes. I don't know why. What? That's why I'm saying we should name our rating after Gary Rhodes in memory.
Why with these TV chefs?
Because I can't think of anyone famous associated with soda.
Listen, a Chevy is a good name for an award of some sort. So let's spread the Chevys out.
We can't give everything Chevys.
Multitask the Chevys.
What about Ainsley Harriet?
Oh, an Ainsley or two.
An Ainsley. Yeah. That's got a ring to it.
No, yeah. I want it to be his full name. I want to give it 3 Ainsley Harriets.
Oh, God.
We know about Ainsley.
And he'll be going, can we call it Harriet or the Ainsley? I'll be like, no, it's the Ainsley Harriet. It's your full name, mate. I'm going to give it 3 Ainsley Harriets.
Nah, I can't give him the time of day.
Why?
Because I know too much about Ainsley Harriet.
Walking down the street, I dropped a naked Ainsley. Oh, someone's picked it up. Come on, let's go on to the next drink.
The next drink, you say, sir? Let me have a look for it right
is it going
now.
Again?
Yeah.
That was magic.
The magic of cheap show editing. Oh, let's not have that. Let's have the Maury Firth thing.
Okay.
What is that?
Oh, you shh.
Are we having that?
That's the pièce de résistance.
It's our pissy resistance. Right.
Ugh.
This
is sent to us.
That's like a dirty protest or a pissy resistance.
We got this in the post today, didn't we?
Viva la pissy resistance!
Didn't we get this in the post today? You saw me open the box.
Yes.
It's the same for the hot sauce.
Same as the hot sauce. So we need to get that letter. Oh, God. Do I have to cover?
Wait, is it this one?
Stop. You hurt me.
I might have brought it in. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Cannon is a man. He's a man, all right.
That's his catchphrase.
It's on the T-shirt. Hello, Cheap Show. Congratulations on 400. Thank you very much. This comes from Kyle.
Did you say thank you very much or did Kyle there?
Kyle, I said thank you very much to Kyle for congratulating us on
400. I thought it might be in the letter.
No.
Well, it'd be weird because he'd be thanking us for 400.
And did he say early on, this comes from Kyle? Like,
it says, hello.
Is that in the letter as well? When did you start reading the letter? I just need to know
from the beginning,
sure.
But then I threw in
now,
a little...
I'm
going to fucking have you.
Oh, I can't believe he swore in the letter.
I can't believe
Jesus.
Kyle would swear like
literally
that.
Literally says
letter.
That. I'll fucking have you right there, first sentence.
Kyle, very aggressive, mate. Very aggressive.
Very aggressive.
Dear Cheap Show, I'll fucking have you. Anyway, I've sent down some hot sauce that my friend Tully has made.
I got it here, mate.
That's what we're going to have a bit later. It is fermented hot sauce that's been pasteurized to stop the fermenting process. The pulp is then strained from the sauce, dehydrated, ground, and then mixed with salt.
We also got that, but we won't be tasting that.
No,
that's
spicy.
Don't get it in your eyes,
he says.
Salt, yeah.
Anyway, finally, I've enclosed a bottle of the Murray Cup. It is a soda from the northeast of Scotland that was discontinued, and now it's back. When it was discontinued, they were selling it online for 50 quid a bottle on eBay. But it's calmed down now, as you can imagine, since they brought it back. Thank you, Kyle.
And we are now going to taste the Murray Cup, and it is looks like weak Ribena in the plastic bottle.
See, I'm not looking at the label yet. Tom, what do you think this flavour might be based on the colour, is red?
It's got to be strawberry, right?
It could be strawberry.
It's got like red and it's got green, which makes me think strawberry.
Yeah.
Although the fact you're asking me is making me think it might be something else.
See, I don't know. I'm just looking at it. Is it like a beetroot? Is it maybe like a turnip juice drink?
Could be. Could be watermelon. Could be raspberry. Could be almost anything. Could be blackcurrant.
I've noticed this as well. There's a hashtag on the bottom that says hashtag bring Murray Cup back.
Yes, because
but is they have. It's I've been old, I'm holding
the,
one.
It, Carl is referencing in the letter.
But they have brought it back because I'm holding this.
But it says limited edition. If you see up there, do you see that?
Oh yes, it's limited edition.
So what they maybe they're just sort of essaying. They get that you know they're just like releasing a limited run of them. To see what the
appetite is.
Because they must have been dropped because they weren't really selling anymore.
So
but
I will
it must
say,
be something that is a real nostalgic element of a whole demographic's childhood.
I think the hashtag is a bit confusing though, because as you say, surely the big identifier should be how many bottles do we sell?
It's bizarre, yes.
They shouldn't go, oh, we sold 10, but look how many people are tweeting about
it. I know, it's so bizarre, isn't it? The way that products are sort of morphing into the internet these days.
Right, these are, it just says fruit drink. That's all
yes,
it says.
Yes, but what's the history of it? It's like some kind of Iron Brew offshoot, isn't it? Because you only get Iron Brew in Scotland, right?
Moray Cup.
They've got indigenous soda brands up there.
How many Ainsley Harriets did Kyle give this? That's what I want to know.
Kyle, how many? How many Ainsleys? No, AHs.
No, Ainsley Harriet.
You've got to... Yeah, but it's not going to fly on TV when you want to get through the night. It's just like you can't keep saying the full name.
No, it has to be as awkward as possible to say. And
but no one says, and the winner for Best Picture from the Arts and Sciences Entertainment Award
No one
Commission.
Does say that. No one ever says that.
No. You're correct, Paul. No one says that.
All right, okay. So,
well done, mate.
You're all very
a unique sentence there from Paul Gansey.
I love it. I love it when Paul just says facts.
Yeah. Spouting truth.
Right. Hang on.
He tells it like it is, mate.
He does. Come on. Murray Cup.
Hang on. I'm looking up.
Murray Cup. Murray Cup. Murray Cup. Murray Cup.
Right.
What's in your cup? I want Murray.
Hey, right. You could have a curry and a Murray.
BBC.
Hey, that'd be great.
The BBC have an article on this from 2017. A popular drink that has been produced in the northeast of Scotland for decades has been discontinued. Cott Beverages have said they're no longer able to viably produce.
What beverages?
Cott Beverages.
Cott. Weird.
Yeah.
What do they do? Baby milk?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done.
There we go.
The red fruit drink was made in the company's plant in Macduff, Aberdeenshire.
Macduff.
That's yes.
It is. Macduff.
Macduff. Mmm. And then, the company went into administration. They had to stop making it. Right. It wasn't financially viable. And now it's all,
That's that.
And then there was a Facebook page at the time that was set up in 2012 to try and save it. Obviously, now living in the future, we know that.
It's back. Fruit flavoured, is it?
Yes.
Okay, let's have. You want a portion to us there?
Oh, is it fizzy?
Yeah, it's a fizzy drink.
It doesn't look fizzy in the bottle. In the bottle, I thought it was like a squash.
Yeah, it looks like that, doesn't it?
Oh, that's like a champagne cola. That is like a pure, very much like that Inca cola.
Like a champagne Coca-Cola.
Bubble gum notes on the nose. There's bubble gum notes. There's kind of a Vimto vanilla note.
I thought Vimto.
Very Vimto. Have you? What did you think, Paul?
Tizer.
Ah, that's it. It's like Tizer.
Because Tizer's a red fruit drink, isn't it?
Yeah. Tizer, is that Scottish as well, Tizer?
I don't think it is, because that's bar, I think.
One of these indigenous soft drinks.
One of these indigenous. Right, I'm going to give it a supping.
I like that a lot.
I do not like that.
Why?
It tastes like fucking... Oh, what's that flavour? Like fake... Bubblegum flavoured drink?
That's what it tastes like, yeah.
Bollocks. I never liked bubblegum as a flavour for anything.
I like it.
It says it's got carbonated water, sugar, flavouring, acid, fruit and vegetable concentrates, which are carrot and black...
Carrot?
Carrot and blackcurrant are the only sort of genuine ingredients. The rest of it is all just fake shit, basically.
Fake shit, yeah.
Carrot.
Yeah.
I think that is Tizer. Maybe it's not Tizer, but it's definitely
it's
like
close
a...
to Tizer. It's got something in common with Iron Brew as well.
Is it
Doesn't
a bit Vimto-y?
Yeah, and a bit Vimto-y. Yeah. I like it because it's like a champagne cola. It's one of those sort of...
It's fine.
What do you think of the flavour there, Tom?
I think it's nice. I think it's quite good. I think it's...
It's a couple of Ainsley Harriets at best, that, for me. Three, four Ainsleys.
Why can't use Ainsley Harriet?
I'd say 3.5 Ainsley Harriets.
Yeah.
So you get three Ainsley Harriets. You cut another one in half.
Right down the middle.
Is that a Harriet or an Ainsley?
No, that's an Ainsley Harriet, but it's half of an Ainsley Harriet.
No, well, that would be an A-hole, wouldn't it?
An A-hole.
Can I have a hay-hole, please?
If I cut you in half, we wouldn't go, oh, look, Sliviot. The top half, that's Eli. The bottom half, Silverman. You'd go,
he's dead.
There's Eli Silverman.
What if you went like straight down bilaterally through the arsehole, from the crown down through the arsehole?
I still think we would go, that is Eli Silverman spliced arsehole.
Yeah, we would.
I don't think we'd go, that cheeks Eli and that cheeks Silverman. I don't think we'd split it that way.
Well, I've got a question about the menu. I've got, what's this? What's in this? Spliced arsehole.
Oh, it's very good. It's delicately made by our chef, who's from Paris.
Is it spiced or is it spliced?
We add a little bit of cumin to it. We add a little dash of pepper sauce.
Right,
yes.
But what about the splicing?
Well, we take an arsehole and we bilaterally split it down to make two C shapes, which I then put in a light frying pan.
He's doing it again. He's doing the thing where he can't finish the sentence.
I can't do it.
I'll have two of those, please.
Well
one
done.
For John.
Well
John's
done.
John's over there. I'm Wendy.
Well done.
John and Wendy, us.
Well done.
That's us.
Yeah.
Spliced arsehole twice.
Do you want to get involved in this sketch, Tom?
It's spliced arsehole twice. Right. I like that.
What, the spliced arsehole?
Yeah.
It's a very much an acquired taste.
That's what he said after eating it. I like that. Okay, all right, mate, fair enough.
You've got to be careful, it's got a venom sack.
Hashtag bring back spliced arsehole, apparently.
Bring back Eli's spliced ice arsehole.
Ice arsehole?
Ice arsehole?
Chilled.
Is it a type of lolly?
That's the frozen variety.
It's like a box full of ice.
Spliced arsehole.
Yeah, it's like a box full of ice with little rings of arseholes on the top.
Little rings of arseholes.
Little rings of arseholes atop the box of ice. This.
How many arseholes do you have?
Just the one.
Okay.
But it's a good one. It's a proper good arsehole he's got. I've seen it.
How many ANC Harriets?
Ooh.
I would give that four. I find that very
what,
enjoyable.
What, your arsehole?
Your arsehole, fair
you're,
enough,
you're going to give your arsehole four?
My arsehole, ha, ha, ha. You ready?
I'm going to
move on from that.
Oh, dear. Tom, what did you think of Murray Cup?
I liked it.
Yeah, very nice. It's funny to Ainsley refer Harriet? To it as a cup.
Yeah.
To refer to the drink as the cup.
Yeah.
I like that. It's kind
you
of
You want to
old
speak
school
on mic? If you lean back, that's fine, but you've got to bring the mic
but
closer
it's not,
to you.
It's not in a cup. It's a bottle.
I don't think you can
it's
take
a
it to trade
on the artwork.
All right, well, that gets it past.
I like that. That's a real little cult soft drink. And I think the flavour is quite nice.
I like that.
I like that, and the flavour is quite nice. But
I like turtles. It's that vibe,
do you
isn't
like
it?
Turtles?
No, it's that kid on the TV that did the
what
advert
kid?
Meme.
What TV? What?
There's a little kid with an American cable news programme, and it's like Halloween, and it's like Ninja Turtles, and there's a kid dressed up, and the reporter goes up to him with the mic, what are you? And the kid goes, I like turtles, and that's it.
And it's a meme or something
yes,
now, is it?
Yes, it's better and funnier in context.
Oh, yes.
But describing it in this way, I admit, take some of the luster off it.
The luster is way gone, mate. We're through the luster into the varnish.
How many Ainsley Harriets?
Showing through.
How many Ainsley Harriets are you going
to
give the
I told you four, and
I'm
they're not
talking
called
to
that.
You. Tom.
Hello.
How many Ainsley Harriets are you giving that fucking Murray Cup? You better
that,
be quick.
I'm giving that fucking Murray Cup three and a half
three
Ainsley
and a half.
Harriets.
Yeah, it's 3.5 Ainsley.
I'm going to give it four. I'm going to be a bit more generous.
Shall we move on to the pissy resistance?
We're going to move on to the pissy substance. Nah. Just moving on.
Oh, Paul.
Now, oh, yeah.
Ooh. These are yet another limited edition Coca-Cola in a what can only be described as a Red Bull can. Really?
And I believe there's an Eli Piab right on the lip of
what
it.
What do you mean
there.
A Piab? That's
a
not
little
like Piab. I haven't
Piab on that. Have you been rubbing this can against your?
No. No, I have not.
Your rich veiny.
No. My rich veiny knob has not been near the cans, okay?
Oh, you both have rich veiny knobs. Oh, that's cute.
It's from years of working together.
I've just got this picture now of some guy who's in a mansion and he's like, he's wealthy and he's a dickhead and he's got all veins up here like, ooh, rich veiny knob!
That sounds, anyway, sounds
right,
like...
No, good, no, stand up, sit down. Stop walking on the...
Right, we need to describe these
do
colas.
It.
It's too hot and hairless in here.
We're going to take a break after this, because obviously this is too much for you. Just describe... I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it up while you tell them what you've got. Fuck me! Tom, I'm sorry, we're much more professional than this in real life. You should be aware.
That's not true.
That's not true.
This is exactly what I would expect.
We've done all of these, all of the ones that we could get a hold of, and these are these limited edition Coca-Cola. They started with the Cosmic one. Do you remember?
Yes.
Now, this one...
No, was it Cosmic or Space?
It was Cosmic Cola flavour. Mm. And they're all sugar-free, and they all have been bad.
Yes, they've been mostly because of the sugar replacement. You know, the sugar-free shit ruins it.
Yeah, but even beyond that, they haven't been well-thought-out flavours, if you ask me, because they are limited edition, so they don't have to, you know. And often,
they'll be tied in with some kind of music artist or something, and there's always
the code
for some kind of online activity with these. So they're very much sort of trying to sort of make it social media-y Coke with these limited editions.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? These things are... These are things that are almost made just to be drunk for podcasts and YouTube.
Yes.
Because the limited edition, they're a bit weird, and as a result, it gives your channel traffic if you review it. Not us, though. Never works for us.
We've been brutally honest about these, and most of them have tasted really bad. And Coke has been... There was a Coke product the other day, the Schwib Schwab.
What about it?
That was made by Coke, wasn't it? And that was quite impressive. That's the best Coke-owned product I've tasted in ages. The Schwib Schwab. Okay.
I don't know why you're not talking anymore. No one's talking.
I like the panic in your eyes.
I'm panicked. I'm fine.
You can have 5 minutes to yourself right now.
I don't want 5 minutes to myself. Be-bar-be.
So, Tom, have you tried any of these weird colas in the past?
I've never tried any of these. I'm very intrigued by this one. Do you want to say what flavour this is?
This is a Oreo Coca-Cola crossover flavour.
Yes, so this is a tin of cola that has been flavoured by the Oreo biscuits. Now, I will say this, Oreo, on their half, have done a Coca-Cola Oreo biscuit.
In return?
Yeah.
But they are not, are they the same corporation?
No.
Because it's Nestle is Oreo, isn't it? I always thought.
I don't know, I'd have to look it up. Here's the copy on the Coca-Cola ad for this, for the website, right? It goes, besties just bring out the best in each other, don't they? Just ask Coca-Cola and the Oreo brand, two bestie brands teaming up to offer fans a unique flavour experience that celebrates the real magic of friendship.
Yeah.
Because when I saw this,
I'll be looking for the flavour.
What is the flavour of friendship, Tom? What do you think the flavour of a friendship is?
I mean, it depends what stage of the friendship, really.
Five years, you know, you went to school together, you've split apart university, you went separate places, but you got back together afterwards.
I think sometimes, though, 5 years in, it's a really nice flavour, you're really happy, it energises you, you're really upbeat. Other times...
It's lemony, maybe a bit of a lemony
flavour.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a really positive lemon, but then other times it is more like a... Oh, I'm sick of this person. This tastes like stale piss.
Yeah, okay.
Vinegar.
Yeah.
We're in our vinegar years, Paul.
We're in our vinegar stroke years, yeah. Fucking hell.
Yay.
Mate.
And we're glad
I always saw our friendship as a kind of sugary butter.
A sugary butter.
You know, like a kind of cake paste.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You put your finger in and go, that's our friendship.
Now,
cake paste.
Yeah, cake paste.
Can I just make one... Observation.
What's wrong with the word cake? What's wrong with the word phrase cake paste?
Isn't it cake mix? Isn't that what the people call it?
I think.
Well, paste implies you use it to like build something. Like you're putting it on the brick and making
it. Building
cake.
A cake.
That's icing. That's what that stuff's known as. Icing.
Cake paste.
Cake paste is icing. Yeah. If you're an alien and you. Yeah.
Bleak Glock. What is this? It is cake paste.
Icing.
Cake paste.
Cake paste. Icing.
It's icing.
Glib glob.
Cake icing.
Now, how many Chevys is cake?
No Chevys and cake, mate.
Oh, dear. Anyway, they're tying their signature tastes and iconography together to deliver playfully unexpected innovations. Fuck me.
I think they are owned by the same corporation. I think Coca-Cola owns the Oreo brand.
Okay, Google. Who owns Oreo?
Mondelez International.
Mondelez International. That isn't Coke, no.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
Well, they share some kind of marketing department because, do you remember, we tried Cosmic Flavoured Oreos.
Yeah, but that was just Oreos.
No, and it's the same branding as Cosmic Coca-Cola, which is the first one of these limited edition Coca-Cola. That suggests to me that there's some kind of head marketing office where they're coming up with these ideas.
The point is that there's a lot of copies of this.
Maybe their third party is doing the branding, you know? They've outsourced some branding, I reckon.
You can scan the QR code on this, and it allows you to find friends and customize playlists on Spotify.
Yeah, see, they've...
With bestie mode.
Yeah, and the last few have been tied into artists, haven't they? Spotify music artists. So it's all very much trying to get engagement, online engagement, through the Coke. Yeah.
If Cheap Show had your own Coke, what would the flavour be?
Cherry.
Cherry. Cherry.
Sour cherry.
Hang on. I know what he wants to hear. Cum. Cum flavour.
I would never be cum put myself Coke. Behind a cum flavoured drink.
Cokey cummer. Coca cummer.
No.
Coke.
Froth.
Froth.
Lemon froth.
No, not lemon. It's got to be a real kind of like...
Cherry froth?
Like a cream
sour
soda flavour.
Froth.
cream soda. It's got to be that in it. It's got to be that kind of creamy, buttery kind of soda.
Why?
I keep doing that with my hand. It's weird.
Because you...
What?
You're bereft of any ideas. How to lift it. I think... You know what, Paul? I think we should get on with drinking this and then go for a break because I'm right, flagging. Yeah.
Oh, I just want to say this. I just want to say this. For some reason, when you scan the barcode, it also gives you things to do in real life as like live...
Oh, like what? Tell me. Scan it. Scan it. I'll close my eyes.
Wait.
Scan it. Tell me. I'm ready.
It gives you live experiences, including Ferris wheel takeovers and the opportunity to friends to create matching temporary tattoos.
No, I had my eyes closed. Do it.
I'm gonna
is it going to suggest something random for me to do?
No.
Clean my bum.
Scan here for bestie mode.
Clean your bum. It says it. Clean your
clean
bum.
Clean my bum. How do I need to clean it inside as well?
Yes, clean it. Use the Coke to clean your bum.
Put the Coke up my ass. Put the Coke up
your
ass.
Yeah, put it all up your ass. Quickly.
Quickly. Paul, are you behind this?
It's like that Mento challenge, but you've got to shoot it up your ass.
Yeah. Oh, the Mento challenge.
It says, can you stick this up your meters?
Is there some kind of challenge on at the moment that people are hurting themselves?
Are you interested?
Yeah, the fucking dickhead challenge. It may as well all just be called
nail in
that.
Head,
like,
nail in temple challenge.
Jump off building challenge, yeah.
I'm going to stick this nail in my temple, otherwise I'm going to give it to charity.
Are you going to share some of yours?
I'm going to pour some into the glass and I'll take it from the tin.
So we're going to taste this Oreo. I don't think that the... Because we tasted those on the episode 400. Coca-Cola, fizzy cola bottle flavour Jaffa cakes.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't work.
You said they were horrible.
Yeah, they were.
And so that is the chocolate with cola.
Oh, you can smell the chocolate, actually.
You can.
Let's have a look.
Oh,
yeah, you can.
That's strong.
It's like that same kind of chocolatey smell you get with stout, chocolate stout drink.
It's like a bready chocolatey smell, isn't it? Like a cakey chocolatey smell.
Yeah,
like chocolatey cake paste.
It's got a big thick layer of cake paste on.
On the visual side,
it looks like Coke.
Normal Coke.
Yeah,
quite dark.
What else are you going to do with it?
It's a bit darker than normal Coke, is it? I don't know, because that orange stuff was much lighter.
I don't know which one it is, do I? Right, let's have a little sup of this and see what happens. Yeah. I will say this: it does taste like Coke and Oreo. However, that taste is fucking horrible.
What do we think?
Yeah. I don't even know if I say it tastes like... It just tastes like Coke and chocolate to me.
Coke and chocolate, yeah.
I know Oreo is like a chocolate cookie, but it tastes just like, as I said, chocolate flavouring, put in Coke. I quite like it. I think that's quite nice.
Yeah, there's something nice about that, isn't
there? I think for me, it's just the fact that fake sugar sweetener flavour comes
through. There is that.
I just wish they'd release like a sugar version, just a regular one.
Yeah. With real sugar, I can imagine that working.
I'll go so far as to say,
Paul... This has might been my favourite of the special edition Coke so far.
I was expecting this to be horrible, but I would happily drink this.
There's a synergy. Yeah. There's a sort of a pleasant way that the two flavours
come together.
But yeah,
yeah. No, I think the only thing that holds this back for me really liking it is that sweetener thing.
There is that empty drop
ruins everything for me.
Yeah.
But it does say fizzy cookie flavoured drink, and I guess that's true. Although, is there such a thing as a fizzy cookie?
If you made it with sweet corn, it'd get fizzy quite quickly.
Sweet corn?
Sweet corn cookie. Ain't you never had a sweet corn cookie?
How does that make a fizzy cookie if you use sweet corn?
Because it gets fizzy, doesn't it, if you leave it too long, sweet corn?
Does it?
Yeah. You ever had a fizzy sweet corn moment? I'm talking top end. And then it would happen bottom end as well.
I can't talk to a man just saying fizzy sweet corn. I don't know what to do with that.
You can't talk to a man saying fizzy sweet corn. You bigot.
How dare you?
That man said fizzy sweet corn.
Swizzy
sweet corn, mate. I think that's quite nice.
That's all right. That's definitely the best.
The best of those so far, would you say, Paul?
Yes. In terms of accuracy.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go on. No. You give me your Ainsleys.
Don't say Ainsley Harriet.
I would give it 4 Ainsley Harriets out of 5.
Yeah, that's not bad, is it?
I'll give it 3.5.
3.5 what?
Just points. No, 3.5. No points here, though. It's meaningless now.
Ainsley Harriets. 3.5 Ainsley.
He's in. I bet you wish we stayed with Ramses now, eh?
No, I don't.
A couple of Ramses.
No, you see, there's his bum again. Looming, have you heard?
He goes on about this all the fucking time.
He's got Hotel Rescue, which is his new thing.
Yeah.
He goes around, you know, criticising hotels.
So it's like Kitchen Nightmares, but in a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it might be Hotel Nightmares.
And now Eli and wanks to it because every
he always
now
checks
and
the rooms. He checks the rooms every week on the show.
He has a shower, really.
And has a shower. And we see his bum.
Genuinely, because I don't know if you ever watched Kitchen Nightmares, but every episode there's a bit where he's changing his top.
He's such
and
a
he's,
fucking...
And he's topless. You see his nipples in every episode.
He's so vain.
So clearly,
he's so weird and exhibitionist and vain. He wants people to look at his little...
But he's got
you
worse.
Know,
he's got worse because Kitchen Nightmares, it was just hit topless every episode.
What a weird man.
But now he's getting his arse out.
What a weird man.
Where does it all end? Gordon Ramsay's sperm banks, where he goes and sees a sperm bank and he has to get his cock out on camera.
Every episode.
Every episode he has an excuse to get his big fucking... sad old windsock cock out.
Paul, I don't think there's a lot you can say about a sperm bank in terms of whether it's just whether it is up
if
to
If I
various...
went into a sperm bank and it was filthy, like just a dirty
it
place,
has to be, they have to
I don't
be...
want to go in. I will not part with my semen
No, but
there.
There's a certain sort of set of scientifically predetermined sort of standards.
Yeah,
that
but
that would
be the problem. He'd go in and go, oh, this sperm's not fresh. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, I came in here, right?
It's not refrigerated in here. Yeah. What the fuck are you doing? What are you doing? It's not refrigerated sperm. It's going
right.
to be bad.
I'll have to replace it myself.
Chef. Chef.
Get a spoon.
Oh, dear.
Right.
Gordon Ramsay's spunky nightmares. What about that?
Sperm bank.
He goes in. Look at the magazines here. Razzle, 1972. You want to get another Playboy in?
Yeah.
They're using computers now. Computers, bring a laptop in. Go to YouPorn, Redbubble. Here you go. Not Redbubble, that don't do porn. Maybe they do. Anyway,
I bet they
Gordon
do.
Ramsay,
I bet he could
spunky
get porn
nightmares.
On a t-shirt. I bet he could get some porn on a t-shirt.
I like
from
the
Redbubble.
Idea of every episode, just him going in. And the first two, it is a dodgy sperm box. But eventually he goes in and go, no, Gordon, this one's fine. He goes, no, I've got to fix it. Right.
Gordon will fix this.
I've got my dick out. Here we go.
I'll repopulate the fucking planet.
Gordon, stop. No, I've got to fix it. Here we go.
Oh, I'm so angry.
Right. Right.
Anyway. When Gordon Ramsay came into our sperm bank 2 weeks ago, I thought we couldn't turn this place around, but look at it. It's glistening. It's absolutely glistening now. In Gordon Ramsay's sap.
Oh, I can still smell Gordon. It's lovely.
Paul, it's time for us to taste, what was their name? Kyle's. Lovely friend's lovely pasteurised and fermented hot sauce.
Right, so we're back and Eli now is going to get out Kyle's friend's sauce. Tully sauce. Tully sauce, we're going to call it.
That's got a lovely smell. A lovely, lovely smell. This is habanero and pineapple.
As we said in the letter, it was made by Kyle's friend Tully. When I say it out loud, makes it sound like an Adventure Time plot.
And it's called Tully's Hot Sauce.
Oh, does it say Tully there?
Yeah, it's Tully's Hot Sauce.
Oh, it
label.
Looks like Tully here, so I do apologise.
No, you're right, Tully.
Oh, it is Tully. I'm sorry again. I'm going to correct the correction. I apologise for Tully.
Is this a commercial sauce, or is this
just
a small
batch? He just says he's made it himself.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a small batch.
This is literally homemade, small batch.
Yeah.
It's got great colour.
Yeah.
Lovely orange colour. I think that's from the fermentation. Gives it that milk. It's opaque and orange.
Yeah.
Orange. Yeah, it's like tomato soup kind of colour.
Or carrot juice.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have any carrot in. It is just, we hope. Anyway.
Is there a place people can buy this? If
we don't know.
I don't think there is. That's what I think it's
gifted.
Just friends and family. Sort of.
Oh, strong smell.
Don't you think that's a great smell?
Oh, yeah. No, it's really earthy.
It's really spicy smell. I'm going to taste. We've only got a little bit.
We've only got a little bit because we don't know how hot it is, do we?
Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, that's really nice.
Ooh, that's really quite nice.
And
cheeky.
It's spicy.
Ooh.
It's got a good kick up the front.
That's got real kicks. Yeah. Lovely dry. Ooh. And like a fruity flavour, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good. And the texture, it's got no graininess. It's nice and smooth.
And how many Ainsley Harriets would you give that?
No, I'm not. I've played along with the Ainsley Harriet naming of the fucking drink points or whatever, but I will not let that pollution touch the source report, okay?
Ainsley Harriet is a pollution.
No, I'm not saying him himself.
Fucking hell, Paul,
I don't mind Ainsley Harriet. I find
him
charming. No, I'm not saying that.
Oh, I'm fine with Gordon's arsehole, but Ainsley Harriet, he's the problem.
Does it appall you, Ainsley Harriet?
Five Ainsley Harriets.
I'll give it 5 Ainsleys as well. That's a good
that's delicious.
Got
honestly,
a bit of a sweat on from it already.
Kyle, tell your friend Tully that is really lovely. I will.
Tom, did you like it?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's got real heat to it. We had like a tiny half a teaspoon.
It's hot. It's very hot, but there's a lot of flavour going on as well.
Are you a hot sauce connoisseur of any kind?
Not as much as you guys, but I do like a hot sauce. I like spicy food. I like stuff that's quite, you know, a bit of a kick. And that's got a nice kick. But it's got, as you say, flavour. It's not just like, oh, that's hot. You're like, oh.
No, it's got that weird grassy, fruity elements to it. Oh, you know what?
There is an earthiness, a grassiness as well. You're
right, Paul. We will put our names to this. We will put our names to this if you want to make this the official cheap sauce, cheap show hot sauce.
Yeah.
We will put our names to this. You can talk to our lawyers about the deals and the finite details. Right. Shall we take a quick break?
I'm flagging. I don't know if you've noticed, everyone, but I haven't been quite so funny.
Just stop leaning on the table because it's knocking the microphone.
Can you shut up?
No, because it affects the audio quality of this fucking podcast. So remove yourself from an issue that I don't wish to raise again.
Come on, then. Just go for a break, man. And then we'll play the game. Gannon's Golden. Yes.
It's Paul's Pleasant Pastimes.
Oh, dear. Right. Is it? Is it Paul's Pleasant Pastimes?
God, that was like all the drinks and hot sauce at the back end coming out. That was weird.
How many Ainsleys for that burp?
That's a solid 7. That's a solid 7 Ainsleys Harriets.
You can't get more than 5 Ainsleys.
Well, I'm giving you 5 Ainsleys. Right, that's it. Right, Tom, over to you.
401. You've done 401 episodes, so I have got you both a little treat.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's got us something.
I'll take me pants off.
Why? Because he's going to have, what, bum sex with us? That's the joke. He's had the little treat. It's his penis being introduced into both of our assholes, taking turns.
Can you not?
We're both over the table and he's taking turns. Is that what you're saying?
Keep talking.
Was that your joke?
Keep talking.
Was that your joke, Paul?
I'm just going to say, wash my willy.
You've just ruined the surprise, but okay. No, I've got you both a little present.
Badges.
I know you like badges.
Oh, we do.
So I've got you both. There's 2 for Eli and there's 1 for Paul.
I've got a pot noodle one.
I've got a little Race Dance aerial Ghostbusters badge, button badge. He's holding a candle for some reason.
Ned Noodle's got a boombox. Looks like a cheap boombox, but
a boombox?
A ghetto blaster.
Is his name Ned? Oh yeah, it's Ned.
I've got Ned. I've got a Ned at home, have you seen? Yeah. I've got an actual Ned, a foam Ned.
Oh, okay.
I've seen his foamy Ned.
I've got a foam Ned at home and I can put these badges on an actual Ned.
Oh, there we go. Please do.
Ned's all the way down.
All right. I'm putting my Ray badge on.
Thanks very much, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. These are lovely little badges. What was the other one?
It says, fill your tum.
What is it?
It's Ned Noodle, right?
Yeah.
He's looking at the camera. He's doing a thumbs up.
Go on.
It says round the outside of the badge, it says fill your tum and have some fun.
All right, yeah, well, we will. Thank you, Ned.
Great badge.
Great badges. Ned Noodles, dirty thumb.
Who's that cunt on your badge?
I said, you weren't listening.
I was not. I know.
It's a little Race Dance from the real Ghostbusters.
That's right.
This looks like it's taken from the comic book or something, the Marvel UK comic. That's the kind of design I think this is.
I genuinely thought it looked like you, Paul. I thought it could have been...
It does look a little bit like me, actually, doesn't it?
I was like, oh, could that be from Paul's Edinburgh Fringe show? I've no idea.
No,
it does look a bit like you.
There's a bit you do with a candle in that, isn't there?
Well, Eli's having his own fun this week.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't laugh. I'm not laughing. I'm ready for the next bit.
Right, let's get into the next bit.
Well, I've got more.
Oh, he's got more.
I've got more. I've got more. I've got a special for...
He's got all Jiminy Cricket it. Come here, there's more.
For episode 401, I've written you a little quiz.
Oh, dear.
Because I thought, you know, it was not just 400 episodes of a cheap show. You guys have worked together for a long time, different projects.
I know.
And I've basically got 12 questions about different things you've worked on.
Oh, dear.
And we'll see how well...
It's going to be a small quiz then, isn't it?
I think I'll win.
We'll see how well both of you... I think I'll win.
Do we get a question each, or is it like fastest finger first?
No, there's one question, and then you both have to think of your answer... Or maybe write it down. Does that make more sense?
I knew this would come in, Andy. You got pen? I've got several.
I've got loads of pens.
Yeah. Do you want a piece of paper out of the cheap book?
Oh, I've got it here. I've got this.
You can have a piece of this paper if
I've
you want.
I've got this.
You can have a piece of this if you want.
Shut up. Right, I'm all right. I'm set. Right. Go. Questions.
What do I call this in my book? What should I call it? And how many questions will there be?
There's 12 questions.
12.
And it's just a cheap show.
Cheap show quiz.
Quiz, yeah.
Put that at the top as a heading for your piece of paper, Paul. Put cheap show quiz at the top.
I've got to use a gold pen.
Write cheap show quiz at the top as a heading
cheap
for this.
Cheap show quiz.
And listeners can play along at home if they know any of the answers.
Oh, and there'll be 12.
12, yeah.
And we need to write down our answers.
Yes, well, I think what I'll do is I'll ask a question, and then you write down your answers, tell me your answers, and then I'll ask
the next
question.
Okay, we do it question by question.
All right, okay.
And we score on each one of those.
Yeah, and we can chat about it if you're interested. I'll move on to the next question.
Okay, right, this is fine. I'm happy with this.
Okay,
Question number one.
Question one.
Yeah.
What was the name of the podcast you launched in 2013 with Joseph Wilson?
Oh, yeah. Ha, ha, ha. Failed comedian and deadbeat Joseph Wilson. He's still gigging a lot, actually. Well played to Joe. I don't know how he's done it with no material for all this time, but God bless him. God bless you, Joe, if you're listening.
God bless you, Joe.
15 years in the industry and you still haven't written a joke yet. That's quite impressive in itself.
No, he had some. He's just still got the same ones.
He's more... I would say he's got patter.
He wrote those seminal jokes. Those...
Semen.
Embryonic jokes.
Right, do we give you the answer now, then?
Who are you going to ask first?
I will ask Paul first.
All right. It was called Topic Thunder.
That's what I've got.
Yes, Topic Thunder. There we go. Congratulations.
All right.
What I liked about it was I did find there's like half of the first episode on Paul's YouTube channel.
I think it was only ever like an episode and a half.
One or two. Because the other one got real bad vibes when we were recording it, remember? Like we had a real bad vibe day and it's like, nah, it's not working. Yeah.
Were we at each other?
It was you and Joe just going at each other. It was getting really, really nasty.
Really?
Yeah.
So then it was ditched.
It was just ditched.
But you had a very similar dynamic of ripping the piss out of Joe as you just did. And also there was a nice bit where you're talking about comedy catchphrases and Elo went, oh, I've got one. He just went, oh, have I shat the bed?
Yeah, that's where it started.
And I was like, oh, it's nice to see you guys have
consistency.
Yeah. You stayed true to your roots.
Some would say that we just...
I haven't said I shat the bed in a long time.
No, but, you know...
And it hasn't happened.
Hope springs eternal.
I just want to be clear. It hasn't happened since I was a small child to me.
Okay, well, okay. None of us really thought...
I haven't even been sick with a fever and shat the bed since then. It's never happened. I just haven't shat in my bed.
But you have shat in your pants.
Yeah, and it was...
anyway. Have you ever shat your pants in your bed?
No.
Question two, everyone.
Question two.
Go on.
In 1992, Paul was on Games Master.
I was.
But what game did he play?
Oh, easy.
Well, obviously, some of these are a bit easier for Paul than they are for Eli and vice versa.
Right.
I'll answer.
Go on.
It was Duck Hunt.
Yeah, it was Duck Hunt.
Yes, it was Duck Hunt, correct. There we go.
Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt. Why is it called that?
It's because it's a Duck Hunt, isn't it?
Yeah, but it should be called, like, ducks. Go hunting ducks. And then you wouldn't have that problem.
That's snappy, isn't it?
Hunting ducks. It's fine.
Cunting ducks.
No.
Cunt ducks.
I wish they put a cunt in ducks sometimes.
That's what
they do. They have a cloaca, don't they?
But that's not a...
Maybe cunt in ducks is what you say when you lose at duck hunt.
Yeah. Cunt ducks.
A cloaca does not a vagina make.
Oh, I love it when you quote Shakespeare.
Go on, question three.
Question three.
Come on.
In his stand-up set at the Comedy Brew House in 2010, what was Eli's opening joke about?
Oh, I'm gone.
2010, Eli Silverman. There's a video of you at the Comedy Brew House.
Oh, God. I wish that would go down, be taken off.
What was your opening routine?
Okay. I may as well answer first because he might know and it might give it away. Was it his triple Jew threat material? My name is Eli Jacob Silverman. Jew, triple Jew. Triple Jew threat.
I think that was his second bit he did.
Oh.
Smirt.
It was Smirt.
Was that your opening set?
Yeah, it was.
For several years. It was a joke about the smoking ban and flirting.
Can you remember the routine?
Basically, I said, oh, there's the smoking ban.
You used to say the smoking ban's just come in. And you said that 6 years in.
No, I didn't.
It's like you used to go, say,
I started to say...
Do you remember when the smoking ban came in? You had to go outside for a smoke and you had to smoke and flirt. You had to smoke a bit of flirt.
In the newspaper, they coined a new term, smirt.
So I wasn't asking for smainal.
That's right.
There
that's
you go. I know your stand-up pretty well. Go on.
It was smucking and then smissing.
Yeah.
It was a good bit.
Smand smod.
It was a fine bit, but God.
Anyway, question four.
Oh, God.
Okay.
It's going to be a long episode now, this.
Paul used to host Geek Night Out with the Dark Knight, Rob Deb.
Yeah.
In their 2009 Geek Night Out Awards, what was their worst film?
Fuck it.
2009 out. Geek Out.
Geek Night Out, worst film, 2009. What
this
could
was
it
at
be?
The old piano bar.
No, this would have been the comedy
pub. Piano number seven.
This would have been the comedy pub downstairs.
Yeah, which was the old Seven Piano Bar.
Oh, yeah, if you say
that
so.
That one
I don't know.
Behind Leicester
the comedy
Square.
Store. By the comedy
but
store.
Yeah, that
yeah.
one. Yeah, that's old Piano Bar 7.
All right.
Blake 7.
Well done.
don't say well done condescendingly
I
to me.
I actually have no idea because I don't remember
this
doing this.
Four?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's the worst film of the year.
Yeah, what did they give as their worst film of the year?
2009.
It fucking came out in 2009.
It's a British film, if that narrows it.
Oh, that's made me change my guess.
Don't know. Honestly, don't know. Out of a guess, I would say
worst film.
Sex Lives of the Potato Men, but I think that came out much earlier. But I don't
But there must
remember.
Have been like some kind of disappointing... Because it was geek. It was all Marvel stuff,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, but we tossed that off.
I have no idea. I was going to say Superman.
No, it wasn't comic book.
Man of Steel, was it? That terrible
that
Superman.
That was later.
Have you got anything?
No, I got nothing.
It was Lesbian Vampire Killers.
Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, that was terrible.
Terrible.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, that was like Corden and the other one trying to do their Shaun of the Dead
The other
thing.
One who I used to hate more than Corden, but now I think he's okay, you know.
Yeah, because he wasn't, because he isn't James Corden.
He isn't James Corden.
He is very nothing, you know, isn't he?
He's a bit of nothing, yes, but yeah.
Question five.
In the first episode of The Cheap Show, you reviewed two novelty songs. Who were the artists? And the first episode was a live episode.
My word.
Well, the first show is Brian Wecht.
Yeah. Which songs were on that episode, yeah?
Yeah.
Two songs.
Yeah.
For the Silverman's Platter section.
Yeah.
Which it wasn't called then.
Before it was even named that, yeah?
Yeah. It was just Mike.
It was the Mikey Lane.
And they were both novelty songs.
I don't know.
What would we have played for Brian?
If anyone knows this at home, I'll be delighted.
Yeah, because I don't fucking know. I just... With
I
our
think
podcast,
I know one
never
of them,
back.
But I don't know the artist. That's all I've got. Yeah. God, terrible this, isn't it?
I'm just going to... I'm going to go for one, but I don't even know if this
okay,
is right.
Can we get half a point if we get one of these right?
Yes, you can.
All right.
I'll answer first. You've written it down, have you, Paul? Is it E.T. Phone Home?
No. Sorry.
Remember
right.
that one, E.T. Phone Home.
I was going to go...
remember that? Do you know what that is? Do you know
no.
what that is, Tom? No.
No.
Okay.
No. I know the song that Michael Jackson did with E.T.
What's that called?
It's called, like, Someone in the Dark.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he did it for
did.
The E.T. soundtrack. And then at the end...
Was E.T.
called,
on it going...
Genuinely, at the end... It's got, you know, Michael Jackson singing this ballad, and then at the end, E.T. goes, thank you.
God. It's awful.
He was really good, wasn't he?
Really
E.T. He's good, E.T., wasn't he?
I seem to remember that song was made for it, but never actually put in the final film.
No, I think it's just on the album.
Just
soundtrack.
On the album.
It was
yeah.
never in the film, yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and say it was Lonnie Donegan and My Old Man's a Dustman.
No, it wasn't. It was Timmy Mallett.
Itsy Bitsy Polka Dot Bikini.
No, it wouldn't have been that. It would have been the other one. Go on.
And the other one was Ted Rogers and Dusty Bennett.
Oh, that would have been... That's what I would think my Dustbin
that's
Man
good.
Thing
that
came through.
That one is a proper, very bad record, that one.
Yeah.
With the little Moog line.
No, well, that's the one where he sings with the kids, isn't it?
No, it's not. I know the one. I know
Ted
the one
Rogers, Dusty Bin.
Yeah.
No,
he's
it has
Dusty
like...
Dusty Bin.
No, it's
not. It's like that.
He doesn't...
I don't say
mate,
no.
It, he
fucking
sings
don't
with
say
kids.
No to me.
I'll tell you. He goes...
There's no kids on it. There are no kids
I
on that record.
I can't wait for you to fucking eat crow right now.
Okay.
Ted Rogers.
I'll be wrong. So Dusty I'll be wrong. It's not. It won't be the fucking first time I've been wrong.
Yeah.
I'm used to it. I'm used to being wrong all the time about the contents of my own beliefs.
This never happens on the actual quiz shows.
This is a remix or something.
No, this is the original.
It is. I can see from the artwork it is the original. Moog Flutie. Who's the funny
face you see on the screen? Yeah, who is it?
Yeah, the kids coming in.
Know who I mean. Round and jolly and
out of tin. We all call him Dusty Bin. I don't hear any kids in it yet, Paul. There they are.
They're even laughing in a gay manner.
I'm wrong. I'm eating the crow. Yum, yum, yum.
I never thought I would see literally children innocently laughing and Paul's face so serious. Like,
have that. Have
the
that.
Mixture between a kid going, hee hee, and Paul going, yeah, fuck you, mate. Who's right?
Yeah, me. So, question six.
Just to clear this up, because you didn't. Which Timmy Mallett song was it? Itsy Bitsy Polka Dot Bikini?
No, or it was some sort of cover. I think it was.
That is a cover of a.
Yeah, but Timmy Mallett released a second single, which was also.
Itsy Bitsy Tope Teeny Beanie Teeny.
No, it's neither of those words.
Itsy Witsy Teeny weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini.
It's not that.
I'm not sure. I don't know if you said on the podcast.
That is by that guy, Brian Hyland. He originally was.
Yeah, but that's not the answer.
Brian
so stop giving
in
us
the
facts
rock and roll era.
Right, question six.
You don't know what song it was?
No, I know it was Timmy Mallett.
What was that song we covered?
I was just looking for the artist.
Yeah, just move on from Timmy Mallett.
Move on!
I like Timmy Mallett.
Yeah, he's
no,
fine.
No, I like
we're
Timmy
fine
Mallett.
With Timmy
we're
Mallett around
we're Timmy Mallett friendly show.
Yeah. About time.
Question six.
Okay. Again, this is this. I don't know how many times you did this, so it's just based on a YouTube video I found. But okay. At the end of the humble quest for universal genius.
Oh, this is my.
This is your thing, yeah.
Toolhouse.
What animal did Eli read a poem about?
Oh, which episode?
The one that's on YouTube.
Oh, right. I don't know which
that's probably from Edinburgh, though, right?
I think Rufus Hound's there.
Is it the Rufus Hound one?
I'm going to have to take
is it
a guess
Pasco?
At this.
Is he against Pasco?
I believe so, yeah.
God, that's quite a high... You don't see much of Rufus Hound these days, do you? He had his moment. Where's Rufus Hound these days?
I don't care.
Of him?
He's on Twitter.
He is on Twitter.
He seems like a nice lad.
I think he does acting mostly of this stuff
he
these
was.
Days.
He was. Nice, fun to work with, definitely.
Yeah, he seems like a nice
man.
He
might have done it a couple of times, actually.
Well, I'm going to take a wild guess. I've got a wild guess.
What animal? What animal?
What animal? What animal?
What animal?
I think I know. Is this number six?
Six, yeah.
Okay, you say first.
I think it was otter.
And I've got otter here.
It's a kangaroo.
Fuck! I'm just surprised we both said otter.
Because there's that time that Sarah Pascoe dissed my otter poem.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of.
Because it was at the Leicester Square Theatre.
Who's fucking she to diss your otter poem?
Well, she just said, I was going on about dam building. And she's like, that's beavers. That's beavers, you idiot. Basically.
Can you remember your otter poem off the top of your head?
No, it's something like, oh, still building a dam and I'm a beaver.
It's like, pause up, baby, pause up. Give me your love. Do you know why? That's by Otter Man.
Very good.
Thank you.
That's
thank really... you. No, thank you. Go on. Next
no,
question.
No points for six.
No, rivals. No. That. So question seven, Mr. Tom.
When Paul was a guest on the Richard Herring Edinburgh Fringe podcast in 2013.
Worst month of my life.
Who were the guests Richard was chatting to on that episode? Where Paul was a stand-up guest, but who was Richard talking to? At the Fringe.
What's his fucking name? Okay, got it.
Oh, God, I've got no idea.
Right, I think I know. That was like genuinely the... I'll tell you a little story about that. So I was in Edinburgh doing my solo show in 2013. I was very, very lucky to get a spot on Richard Herring's podcast. It was just a stand-up set, not an interview set, just doing a bit of stand-up. I'm having a bad month in Edinburgh for various boring reasons I won't get into now. But I'm heading down to Richard Herring's show and I'm nervous because, you know, I'm going down. Herring doesn't know
me. Is it one of these theatres uptown? Where
it
one
was,
of these no, larger,
one of the,
slightly
the
larger
stand.
Theaters.
It was the stand. Right. It was one of the stand venues. Mm. Anyway, I head down there. And on the way, I meet a stand-up. And he went, where are you going? And I was like, I'm off to do Richard Herring's podcast. I'm doing a spot. And he looked at me and went, you? You're doing it? And I was like, yeah. He goes, you're not good enough for that. And just walked straight off. So anyway, so that was heartening as I walked down to Richard Herring's gig.
Well,
and
I can't.
To be fair, it went all right in the end. I haven't listened back to it in a long time, but I think it went all right.
You're not good enough. What? I mean, you're a cunt.
Yeah, I'm not a cunt.
Even if you thought that, why would you say it to the person?
It was.
You
I think I mean? It was like jealous.
Especially for someone who goes on about how you're such a lefty comedian and that's how you treat people.
Like, yeah. And it was just like a real stab in the back when I didn't need it after 3.5 weeks of fucking misery.
Yeah,
Edinburgh.
But no one needs it ever.
Anyway,
you showed it, mate. You smashed a gig. You're still here.
Yeah, I'm still kicking it.
Now, I say Rich Hall.
Oh, yeah, the question. No, the answer is Bo Burnham.
There's two people. Bo Burnham's one of them.
Oh, there was another
only get
one.
Half a point.
It was
Rich Hall
Milton,
the other one.
Milton Jones.
Yes, it was.
Oh, you bastard. Full
That's
point.
2 points for that. Is it one or 2 points for that?
One.
No, you got one for each. One for each.
2 points.
Fuck that.
How about that?
You got then? What? You got one for the Timmy Mallett, Ted Rogers question. If you got them right, that's one each.
Yeah, I didn't get that right.
Yeah,
I said ET phone home.
Yeah, that wasn't there. Question
wasn't
eight.
Right.
What character did Eli play in the 1997 film Pervarello.
Oh, God.
Oh, well.
According to IMDb.
Oh, yeah. It's specific, isn't it?
Is it? Do we have to get the number right?
No, there wasn't a number on IMDb. Oh. It just says in Pervarello, which I've never heard of.
It's and not worth it's checking fine. Out.
Any,
it's
not. Any memories about Pervarello?
It'll get cancelled.
I do. We filmed, okay, and yeah. I was in these Lycra shorts.
Yeah.
And just a sort of furry gilet.
Make
you know?
So many Cheap Show fans are rushing.
Yeah, a little true. Furry gilet. So you know many... what I mean? Like a furry vest. A yeah. sort of fake fur vest. And Lycra shorts. We were waiting. This is the kind of film it was. There's loads of topless women.
Women, yeah.
We were all had to wait in this sort of room in this guy's house.
Yeah.
Where they were shooting. And there were all topless women sitting around. And the table between us was piled with vintage porn mags. Piled with it.
Yeah.
And I had to sit there all day. God. And it had Jonathan Ross in it. Fucking
shit. It sounded like a terrible day, to be fair. Isn't it terrible?
It wasn't terrible. It was memorable. But it was a bit strange. You know what I mean?
And you couldn't even get an erection because you're in those tighty pants.
Try not to. You don't want to... You know, you're not trying to look at women's...
gesticles.
Yeah.
How much did you get?
I don't think I got very much at all. I think I got like an extra fee. Maybe 100
a day. You got an anecdote out of it.
Wow.
Not worth it.
For some reason, the Jonathan Ross bit made it just seem much worse.
Yeah, it did.
It already sounded crap, and you went, Jonathan Ross, and I went, oh, no.
It, honestly, it's one of those films, it's probably not even so bad it's good. It's just tediously
bad. Just tedious. Right, I think the answer is, I just think it's like third pervert or something.
I've got Dirty Perv.
Dirty Perv, correct.
Fair yeah, enough. I was close, though. I'm happy that I got close.
Yeah, you tried, yeah.
Because to be fair... If you're a perv, do you need the other qualifier of being a dirty perv?
Well, maybe like, you're a perv that's into dirt.
Was there a clean perv as well?
I guess. There might
be
a clean perv.
Can't you?
Clean perv, yeah, like bishops and stuff.
Well, no, you could be clean and like want to wash someone down.
Right, question nine. Yeah, you're right. Question nine. Please, Tom.
Little washy pervert.
I can't believe I went there. Right.
Question nine, please.
No point for you.
No
point for spongy perv.
You clean
shame.
Soapy perv.
Okay. At the Rogues Variety Performance Show in 2012.
Right. Okay. What? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The what?
The Rogues Variety Performance Sketch Show. Okay. Graham Casey, me, you.
In 2012, Paul played a Good Times version of which song on his ukulele?
What's the venue?
It just says the Rogues Variety.
I can see you writing down.
It was the Espionage back in the day in Edinburgh. We did that.
I know. I remember.
Yeah. Nick Helm's show was on before ours.
Can I answer first?
Were you talking to the mic so we can all hear your wit?
Shall I answer first?
Yes.
Correct. Yep.
Creep by Radiohead.
Yeah, and I've written Creep as
yes.
well. Yeah.
There we go. You both get a point.
He used to do that a lot.
It was quite a good
number.
No, I did
this good. I never did it. I did it once in the show, and then I did it once with Matt Devereaux at the other comedy club, the Six Dials one.
You used to do it live.
I never did Creep as part of my stand-up set.
Oh, really?
Never did it.
Play it a lot.
Yeah.
You did it live on this video.
Yeah, but that's...
It's good, it's really good.
No, it's all right. But like the best one to one with Matt Dever on piano.
Right. Some accompaniment.
Yes.
Cool, we both remembered that.
Right, question 10. Nice bit of this.
Okay, in 2017, Eli starred in Clankerman.
He did. Well done.
What is its current rating on IMDb?
Oh, can we get a point for who's closest?
Yes.
So it's IMDb.
Which
so
is out of five, but they go to...
It was out of five.
They go to two decimal places.
I thought it was out of ten.
Out of ten.
It is out of ten.
And it goes to one decimal place.
All right. Whoever gets closest gets the point. I've written mine down.
I thought you'd like the fact that currently there's been 69 ratings.
Oy.
Nice, as they say.
Nice. What's going down, Mr. Silverman? What's your number?
Are we getting petwings for being near here?
No, these aren't. What points are we at? We can't have Ramses
Harriots.
For this. We can't have Ainsley Harriott. So how many points are we getting?
What can we get? Well, it has to be something related to Cheap Show.
You've got to coin it. It's up to you to coin it.
Chegwins.
Cheggers. No, we're not calling them Cheggers. You've got five Cheggers.
I'm not getting any Cheggers.
Cheggers, Chefs and Chips. And Chives.
Edmunds. And Edmundses.
Cheesy Cheggs.
How many Knowles?
I've got cheesy...
No, God.
Whoa, okay.
Oh dear.
I'm just trying to say nonsense things.
You know, sometimes I can't finish a sentence, but I'm glad I don't get anywhere near that when you talk.
Please, could you cut that out? That was.
I wish you would cut it out.
It was a mistake. It's a mistake phoneme. Just...
How many... Right, so...
Okay, you don't get betwings, so each point is a... For swang.
Nice. All right. I'm not happy with it, but it will do.
I said 9.5. Am I being big-headed?
I said 8.7.
It's an 8.
Oh, that's still me gets the point, though. I'm closest.
But it, deserves more. But there we go.
Right, I'm getting a point for that because I was
still
closest.
Still pretty good, isn't it? For
it's,
IMDb?
It's very, very good.
To be fair, if people are listening to this, want to go to IMDb and give it a higher rating.
Yeah, please do.
It's fine. I'm not going to check it obsessively.
Question 11, please. Question 11.
Okay. In his stand-up show, Ain't Afraid of No Ghost,
oh.
Paul tells a story of going to see Ghostbusters at the cinema when he was 6 years old.
Yeah, he certainly does.
But what happens during the library scene?
Oh, it's easy. Yeah, I've written that down. It's the easy one, this, isn't it? I often tell this story.
You can see I'm writing, pisses himself.
Yeah, I do. I piss me pants because I was drinking too much Coke and I needed to go to the pee real bad before the film started. And I didn't get a chance to. And then when it starts, it's like, I don't want to go. So I was trying to hold it on for as long as I could.
And then that happened.
And then it went, bleh!
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was like, oh.
But then you stayed.
No, my auntie who took me to the bathroom.
And cleaned you up.
Took my pants down and like got tissue paper and dried me out.
You did miss a small portion of the film there.
I didn't walk back into the film until they got Ray got his third mortgage or whatever it is.
Oh, really? So it was like you missed a chunk.
I missed a big chunk. So that's why when I watched it on VHS all those years later, it's like, oh, director's cut.
It's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. Sad story. I get a point for that.
We both get a point for that.
Yep.
Right, final question. Question 12.
Okay. In his review of your 2008 Edinburgh Fringe sketch show, which was Rogue's Handbook Bumper Book of Sketches, who did Steve Bennett from Chortle compare Eli to?
Oh, a cunt?
No, you said the only one who can act.
I love that he takes away all of that, always. I can't remember this at all.
DeVito.
No.
I'm being so big-headed here, aren't I?
No, that doesn't seem like you at all.
DeVito.
I am going to take a stab in the dog. I haven't written this down. But I'm going to say he maybe... Is it some... Okay, I'm just going to say he maybe compares him to Nick Helm.
No.
No, go on then.
He describes him as the Baldrick of the operation.
Oh, yeah. The Baldrick.
There we go.
Baldrick was fucking funny, I have to say.
All right. Well, all right. Okay.
Sorry, I'm not being...
Yeah, but Baldrick was still a dirty, scabby, mentally deficient half-wit.
I have
one, two, three, four, five, six. I have six.
There's no tie break, is there?
You're going to make a tie break. Oh, there's no tie break.
It's all right. Let's just shake hands and agree that that was a wonderful quiz and thank you very
much.
That.
Thanks, Tom.
Oh, and I'm glad neither of us won because that would have made this a little bit more unpleasant.
Maybe the prize can be the friendship.
The friendship we made along the way.
Are we going to play Snooker Break now or
Let's
not?
Play Snooker Break now. Is it Gannon's Golden Games time, Mr. Silverman? Would you like to bark incoherently for a few minutes? And do the theme.
No, not if I'm allowed to. It loses all the
frisson. Is that all I had to do to really
basically
remind you? Or in that case, I'll do it. He's gay, go gay. He's gay, go gay. Ooh, is he gay? Who's gay, is he? It's not yours. It's gay, it's got games.
Trying to introduce a Dario thing.
Trying to introduce a Dario. A dilly Dario. A dilly Dario.
It's working better for me now, dog.
A dilly dig dog Dario.
Dig dog Dario.
There we go.
It's Gannon's Golden Games, everyone. Yes.
Because... Mr. Thomas Mayhew has joined us today. You found
Snooker
this board
Loopy
game.
Podcast.
Yes.
52 episodes up there.
You found this in a charity shop, didn't you? And you purchased it.
I certainly did. It was up on Wood Green somewhere, I think. I can't remember the specific shop.
And the
it's
game.
Got a lovely build quality.
It has. Let me just. You always jump ahead to the stuff that needs to come second or third and not the actual title of what the game is. It is a game, a toy, not really a board game, but it's Steve Davis's Pot Black Snooker Break TM. Now, Tom, since your podcast is all about snooker, and I'm guessing you do know about snooker, tell us more about Pot Black. Was it a brand?
It was a TV show, sort of. Launched by the BBC, it was one of the first times they had snooker because snooker was a very good indicator of colour TV back in the day. So when there was black and white TV and they went, what's a show that can really show the colour? And they went, perfect, snooker, that works, it's got colour. So it was a really big thing in the early days of television and the early days of the sport, kind of getting a massive following. So I presume this might be from the 70s then?
What does it say? 1983, this is from.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, Steve was the dominant player in the 80s, Mr. Steve Davis.
He was
in the box,
a young chap there. We got a picture of the box. He's got a little child on his knee.
Yes, it's a bit creepy, isn't it?
Don't think that's appropriate to play a board game with.
Well, no. He's just saying, look, you know, play together.
Unless that's a growth. like Steve Davis once
that's his
had
weird,
like
his weird what's his, that character called
conjoined twin
what's it called
from Total Recall
what are they called
take your open your mind
I want to say like
Nugget.
Cujo.
Isn't it Nugget
something
or something
like Guago
Guago Nugget anyway
Guago Nugget
we've moved
no Paul it's they did a Rick and Morty episode of it.
Thank you. So
of Pop Black.
Of Pop Black.
Imagine that. No, that bit out of...
We don't need to talk about Rick and Morty, so let's just move on.
We don't need to.
Thank you.
We don't.
Right, so it's Steve Davis's Pop Black Snooker Break, and it's not like a board game. It's kind of like... It's hard to explain, but easy to play. There is a snooker table. There's a plastic base.
You
can see
photos.
Table, yeah, there will be. With a snooker table point painted on it, and there are little pegs that resemble the snooker balls. And there are three spinning dials, and depending on the outcome of each spin of certain dials, determines where the ball is and your points and scoring.
Yes, our actions. And you're going to be games master.
Yeah, because it's only for two or four players.
And I'm going to take on the guest.
Okay, here we go. So
wait. I want to ask one more question at this point. Steve Davis, he was quite young at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, he must have maybe been sort of mid-20s to 30s, I'd say, at that point.
So like, he was the big golden boy. He was sticking his name on everything.
He was definitely like the world champion, the world number one.
Is he in the top 10 of like all-time...
Snookermen.
Yeah, like, in terms of world titles, it's kind of Ronnie and Hendry have got seven and Steve's got six.
Okay. So he's still up there.
He's still a regular part of the punditry. He's still he DJs at Glastonbury.
He was a funk and soul DJ,
and he's also had an album of electronica style stuff.
I like that because he was often like called boring.
That was the spitting image thing, wasn't it?
He was like boring and uninteresting.
It's strange because that was the perception of him, but nowadays he seems like a bit of a joker. He has a bit of a laugh, and he's got quite a dry sense of humour. And
I guess it's like he's like the Gary Lineker of snooker.
Well, I guess he was seen as boring because it was him and he's quite a clean, normal, calm individual.
Yes.
And the people he were opposite were high on coke all the time.
Yeah. So he looked sort of square compared to big drinkers, basically. Yeah, yeah. You know.
Ronnie Sullivan, is that one?
He's the dominant player now, Ronnie Sullivan.
Still.
But he's not a big... drug? Has he had drug things?
He has.
He's very temperamental. He sometimes just goes, "I'm not even feeling it."
Yeah, he's had real sort of. He's a bit more of a fiery kind of character.
Oh dear! Yeah. I don't
rather than like a
nice boy.
No, back in the day, there was all these.
Who's the one with the funny glasses?
Serious alcoholism and cocaine problems and gambling problems, and they were like playing these tournaments as well, weren't they?
Yeah, I think players like Hurricane Higgins got suspended for punching the referee and stuff.
That's what I remember when my dad used to watch it. It was the booze and the cigarettes and
the whole vibe of
an adult sort of space.
There was a guy called Big Bill Werbanak, and he used to drink pints while playing. Go through a number of pints while playing.
Dirty,
fucking great.
Dirty sport back then.
And I remember. Do you remember this? There was a sketch on Alas, Smith and Jones,
right?
Where they're like snooker players. It's set up so they look like snooker players, but it turns out the competition is actually how many.
Oh, that's right. The pints are spread out on the table.
How many drinks you can get down. Yeah.
And then here comes Steve Davis, who walks in. He's the pretty boy, nice boy, good to his mother, plays a clean game. We can see why he became a poster child for snooker-based tat.
I think with the child on his lap, they're trying to sort of sell him as a sort of older brother kind of character.
Yeah, that's it. And he even says it on here. All the rules, the thrills and excitement of a professional snooker match that can be played anywhere, indoors or out.
It's got a nice build quality and a nice compact feel.
Yeah, I like the spinny dials.
The lovely covered spinny dials with the little ball bearings in.
Yeah.
And this pegboard, very much like a Mastermind.
Yes, it is.
It reminds me of the design of the... You remember Mastermind?
Yeah.
Not the TV show, the board game Mastermind with the code-breaking mechanic.
That's what I mean.
Everyone had Mastermind. I don't know why.
Because they had about 18 versions. It's like Jeff Lynne's War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
They put out a new version every 2 months. From about 82 onwards, there's about 800 versions of Mastermind.
Like 3D Dulux, Mastermind.
Dulux, but it's fucking adult. Wordle with numbers.
Well, colours.
Or whatever it's with. It's bullshit.
Well, you're not a big fan of it, are you?
It's so boring when you look at it. You'd go, ooh, Mastermind. Ooh.
See, the only other snooker-based game I wanted to get, because obviously you can buy tiny snooker tables and stuff, and that's not that interesting, but I'm kind of keen to get my hands on the big breakboard game, based on the TV show of the same name, starring horrible human being and outright cunt, Jim Davidson.
What's it called, the big break game?
Big break, yeah. It's only a game, so put up a real big fight. We're going to be snooker in you tonight.
Snooker in you tonight. Big break.
There you go.
I don't remember it.
And then John Virgo was the boring man, you know.
So it's Virgo and Davidson?
Yeah.
Pure
yeah.
toxic stew.
I don't know about John Virgo being a toxic man.
Virgo's all right. He's all
right. He's a player, right?
He's a ref.
He's a player.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. And now he's a commentator.
Now he's a commentator.
But he would kind of be quite funny as well. He's quite...
dry-witted, isn't it,
yeah,
almost?
Yeah, he's very much like that. But the big break game, I presume you just score points by insulting women.
Yeah, no. It was like, question number one, how hard a slap does a woman deserve for not having your dinner ready when you get home? Oh, Jim, I can only go from experience, but one good slap will do it. Yeah. It says here, I give him two. All right, well, there you go.
He is a cunt, isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. Question number two. Why are wheelchairs a problem at live comedy gigs? That's the other one anyway, I don't know. Anyway, horrible cunt that the BBC tried to make the next Bruce Forsyth by having him do Generation Game and all sorts.
Yeah.
Anyway, I do want to get Big Break. One day we'll get that. But
because you're obsessed with board games, aren't you?
Yeah, and basically one's based on TV shows, which kind of this counts, I guess.
This counts, yeah.
Yeah, so let's... Are you ready to play? It's going to be Eli versus Tom.
I'm ready.
So when we're ready, let's play Pot Black, Steve Davis, Snooker Break, TM. Started the clock, we're going to play. So basically, you remove pegs from the snooker board by spinning a dial. Who would like to go first? Shall I toss it?
No, I think that our guest should go first.
All right, Tom.
Okay.
So
I will break off.
And I once break. Once he spins the dial, I will then tell you what the outcome is
based on
rules
the paper,
book.
Yes,
so he's spinning for his first shot. He's spinning the red shot.
This is the...
And there's a little ball that goes round.
In the light green.
Light green. So that means this is a foul stroke.
Oh,
and four points
luck.
Are given
there,
to your opponent.
He calls himself an expert as well. He's come here. He's come down here to our hall.
That was a practice shot.
Yeah,
that's all that was.
Shot. So that would have been...
What, he meant to not score? I don't get it.
No, I've given you 4 points. No.
In this instance, what you could theorise is that the ball bounced off the cushion and didn't hit
went
anything
the
on
hole.
The table. Or went in the hole, yeah.
Bounced off the...
And so is the winner the person who gets 100 points?
It's... Yeah, basically. Well, actually, it's the game's over when all the pegs are off the board.
Well,
so when you play
one
the table,
frame, shouldn't we?
No, because it might be forever. So that's why I've put 10 club.
Spin.
And I have to fucking edit this podcast.
I'm going
to
spin.
And I'm not going to sit here and edit.
I just thought we're having fun. We're having fun for once.
I'm going to make this edit easier by playing ragtime music in the background, evoking a Pot Black vibe as we play this game.
Do they have a ragtime vibe?
Yeah.
Spin
it. Yeah, he's spinning for his red shot now. And let's see where
it
lands.
Round and round it goes. Oh, red.
Is it red? Yeah. Because I know it's a bit faded. Red.
Potted a red. There we go.
If you land in the red section, score 1 point and place a red ball from the snooker table on your segment, which you've done.
Thank you.
Reserved for potted red balls. Then take a colour shot.
Okay. Is that in the middle?
No, that's the end one. So spin the colour shot. Because, you know, red, then colour, red, then colour, red, then colour.
Round and round it goes.
Round and round it goes. What's it landed on? Is that blue?
Yeah, green.
Green.
It's green.
So it is definitely green.
I was going to say, the whole... So you can't...
Can what? You not pot the black? I'm very confused. There's only
you can if you can if you want.
There's only about four colours.
Well, it will explain in a bit later.
Oh, sorry, okay.
So if it lands...
If you're colourblind, you can't play this game.
Or snooker.
That's true.
Or you can't
There's
play snooker.
There's quite a high proportion of...
Pool you can play.
Can you?
Because yeah,
they're numbered,
it's dots and
yeah.
stripes.
There are some snooker players who are colourblind and occasionally have to ask the ref, is that a brown or is that a red?
Oh, God.
That's what I was going to say.
They
That's what
put
I was fascinated because it's quite a high percentage of men are colourblind.
Right.
It's not insignificant. It's like 1 in 5 or something.
You landed
it's something
on green.
That high. 1 in 10 or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like 2 in 10.
That's
like
very
interesting.
Stop saying numbers.
I think you're trying to chat because you want to win this 1-0.
Yeah. Right, ball lands in green section. Indicates the required ball. So what would happen is, if you got this right, you can say what colour you hit and potted in. And that's your point.
Was there a question for me then?
No, listen, let me finish. Requires that the ball that you aimed for had been hit but not potted and the opponent has been left snookered. Play passes to the opponent who must spin the snooker wheel to escape.
Spin the snooker wheel to escape.
Right, so Tom is now spinning the snooker because he's been
snooked. Exciting snooker. Can I do
it? Let's see where this goes.
And it goes into blue.
Blue. So, snooker, blue. Oh, dear. A foul stroke.
What?
4 points to the opponent.
This is ridiculous.
If all reds have been potted, the value of the next colour boy is given away. But in this, that's not, you haven't got that. Oh yeah, four men.
Oi, right.
He's 9-0 up.
But you have to take one back because you don't get a. Did you add a point for the red one that you got?
Yeah, no. Yeah,
all right, okay,
right,
good.
Yeah.
All right, cool. In that case, Tom, it is now your go to
go
spin.
On the red, please.
But I just went, didn't I?
No, it just it goes back to you. It's not quite snooker.
Orange.
Orange. Right, what does that say? Red, orange. The opponent has been snookered. So now he's been snookered.
Now I spin the spooker.
You spin the spooker.
Oh, that's another question I have for the snooker expert, seeing as they're here.
Yeah.
Did snooker used to mean put in an inescapable position? Or was snooker, was it a nonsense word that made up with the game that then became to be known as that?
It's that one.
Yeah, the second really? Option. Yeah, yeah.
The term came first and the association with the term came second.
But where did the term originate?
Do you know where snooker came from?
India.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, because it has that sort of sound.
Spin the snooker circle.
Back when it was British India, many years ago.
Okay. Middle one.
I'm not spin looking. It.
Oh, good. If you had, put it back.
It's in blue.
Blue, which means...
Oh,
yeah, four strokes
yes!
to...
Yes! 4 points!
There you are. You're halfway there.
Eli.
And now I spin the red.
Yeah.
Doesn't it go to the other person?
Oh, no, it does in this case. Yeah, it does on this one, so now you take it.
The rules
it didn't last
him,
time, but it did this
rules.
Time. I'm reading it as I go. He's spinning a red. Or will he pot a red? Will he? It's going to land on... Oh, white. What's that one? That's...
Foul. 4 points.
Wait, no, wait. Play passes to the opponent, which means the red ball has been hit but not potted.
Okay. Oh, that was close.
So
though.
I go on the red now.
Yeah, you're red now as well. Nice spinny action as well. Not
they're
great,
good.
But
they're
pretty
good.
Effective.
It's good for a toy. It's got nice...
Orange.
It's not all gone brittle. The plastic's of a certain quality level.
Orange. Your opponent has been snookered, so you've been snookered again. You've got to spin the snooker
wheel. For God's sake.
Yeah, but you might get a lucky this time. You might get a real good one. He's spinning the snooker.
Stop playing like Peter Ebdon.
I like the fact that we've been playing it.
Blue.
Blue. Oh, that's not good, is it? Yeah, no. 4 points to Eli. Right, so Eli, you now take a red shot. Yellow.
No, that's half yellow, half orange.
Is it?
Yeah, yellow tip. Oh, no, you don't need the inside, just the outside circle. So
orange.
Orange.
Right, so that means... Oh, fuck's sake, snookered again.
I've snookered you again.
I've never seen this many games of snooker in fucking snooker. Snooker, I'm sick of saying snooker and all.
This is terribly boring as a game.
Orange.
Orange, what does that mean?
You've escaped but without scoring. Oh. And the opponent is left in snooker, which means now you have to spin the snooker circle.
Ah, I've snookered you with my snooker.
Yeah, so you did something
this
clever.
Exciting stuff. He's managed to get out of a snooker and snooker me. That happens when they go up the end
and
go
yet,
bouncy, bouncy.
We've only potted one red.
Not blue!
It's blue, which means 4 points to Tom, and he gets to take a shot on red now. He's catching up, Mr. Silverman. I'd like someone to pot a fucking red at this point in the game.
Oh.
Orange.
Orange.
Snookered.
I'm snookered. That's all that's going to happen. That's the whole dynamic. People get snookered.
No, wait, this is red. That's the orange one there. It's just one. It's just one orange.
All right.
They've all been red.
We're having a colour problem.
Right, so Tom, you have now potted a red, right?
That's a second.
Which means you
no,
take
that's
a
not,
point.
You don't put it there. You put it on your
You put
edge.
It on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. And then you can move it one space. And now you spin a colour, as you would. So now we go on to colour.
Come on, colour.
Come on, colour. What have we got? It spins it round.
It's greeny blue.
What do you want? Blue. Yeah. That means the ball has been missed.
Ah.
4 points or higher, depending on the point value on the ball, are missed and awarded to the opponent for a foul stroke. Wait, what?
We're meant to be saying which one we're going for, don't we?
It doesn't say that, though.
Yeah,
here,
he doesn't know the basics of snooker. This is the problem. They don't explain the rules of snooker.
Why didn't we just get a real referee like Leo Scullion or something?
Oh,
Virgo.
Wait, no. You know what? I didn't read the whole thing.
Yeah, he didn't read the
so
whole thing.
So you then take a colour shot. The colour you require is determined by the colour segment on the inside of the red section of the ball. I didn't see that bit. Tell you what, Tom, start again.
This
red
is fucking
spin
bollocks.
The red one
I'm
again.
Sorry.
So
spin
I think
the red.
That means I was going for pink then.
Yeah.
I think. So Eli gets 6 points. Oh, fucking hell.
Oh.
I'm beginning to see why they drank so much.
Well, yeah.
You've done the scores wrong as well. Look, it's 1 to 10 and then numbers of 10 upwards. So you should be actually at this point.
No, that's gone
at 12.
No.
Yeah, look.
It goes up to 19, 20, and then it counts from there.
All right. Yeah, this is all going well.
Cribbage board.
I'll give you cribbage. Right, Eli, spin
got
the red.
I've itchy cribbage.
Eli, spin the red ball. Spin the red.
Do you know what's a nice dish?
Yeah, go on. You have a go. You have a shot, Paul. Go
I'm
on.
Having a shot. Let's see what I've got. I hope I pot you a red.
A nice dish is some bacon.
I potted you a red.
And some cribbage. Put some cribbage leaves in there. Into the pot with the bacon. And you fry it
so
up.
So you potted...
And then does he go for... Colour.
All right, colour.
So what?
That's brown.
Brown. So I'm going for brown.
Right, okay, so now
spin the brown.
I'm going for brown.
Going for brown.
Get
Go
your
on.
Fingers round the round, brown. Right.
There you go. Round and round she goes.
Where she stops, no one fucking knows.
White.
White in the colour shot. Yes. The required colour ball has been hit but not potted and play passes to your opponent.
Come on, mate.
So Tom's on red now.
This is really dull. Really, really dull.
How long is it supposed to take?
Until you clear the table.
I'll concede. White. How about that?
Ball lands in white section. Play passes to the opponent, as this means a red ball has been hit but not potted.
I need another peg to say I've got 20.
No, you. Yeah, all right.
I need a peg to say I've got 20.
I'll give you a pegging.
I don't know where I've put me pegs. There's
where are the fucking pegs at? I need a peg to count the 20s.
Right.
Fuck's sake, it's mate.
20.
Sick of this discourse. Right.
How many do I get?
I don't know what we just did. Now you got to shoot a colour.
Shoot a colour.
Yeah, and that what the colour is based on the inside.
Now you've got to do red, haven't you? You've got to do red.
Have you done? You I thought you just did your red shot.
He's not
you're
potted
to do
a red.
This rules here. What thought, just happened?
You have to.
Oh, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter now. The game's over.
20 points
here, I'm
to nine.
Shaking his hand, everyone.
Well played. Good well, played. Well played.
Thank you. Eli is best at snooker.
Shake hands with the ref as well.
Oh, careful of the mic.
Here,
I'm not touching you.
Why? Then you can't win. If you don't shake the ref's hand, you won't win.
Okay, don't do the finger thing, though.
No.
Please.
Did the finger thing. Right.
Classic ref prank.
Tom, would you like...
icky finger hole.
As a gift from Cheap Show, would you like to take the Steve Davis Pot Black Snooker break game home with you tonight?
It's just my loser's prize.
Yeah, wow.
Consider it a loser stroke participation medal.
I'll take it if you guys... I presume you won't play it again.
No,
I
will never it'll end up in storage and never play it again.
Let's
I'd rather give it to a snooker-loving home. We don't have to do that now, Mr. Silverman. We're doing a podcast. Leave it in.
Just finishing the podcast. All you're going to say is some shit.
No, I'm going to press stop now and then we're going to do it. Do you want it?
Yes, please.
Thank you. You can have it. And you can just fuck off.
It's mine, actually.
I'm having
you
enough.
Can have it, though. I mean,
do you want some money for it?
I'll give you the money for it.
I don't want the money. It was only
£3.75.
That's all right,
isn't it? That's
all
a bargain.
It's a bargain for that. Yeah. And that's what you're taking home with you tonight.
Yay!
No, and you give Tom an opportunity.
Of course,
to
I'm
going to
give Tom an opportunity to do his stuff. Of course. But first of all, it's Gannon's turn to say, look, one stop shop, thecheapshow.co.uk. Everything you want from Cheap Show, you'll find on there. So just go to thecheapshow.co.uk. YouTube, Patreon links, videos, dedicated pages to episodes. It's all there. And if you want to support us on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/cheapshow, but give what you can, but only if you can, please. And you can get access to recent 400 behind-the-scenes stuff and extra podcasts and videos and all sorts of lovely gubbage. Eli.
Thanks for supporting the show, everybody.
You're not going to talk about your Soho Radio.
I have a show
you
on Soho Radio.
You do that these days, don't you?
I have a show on Soho Radio, music show, and that is called The House of Pickles Sound Show. That used to be the name of my bedroom, but I'm thinking of a better name for my bedroom.
And
Curry
Tray Palace. I actually do not mind. I was thinking of calling it like Splatter Manor.
Nah, that's
what's wrong
terrible.
With Splatter
no,
Manor.
No, come on. After Curry Tray Palace, Splatter Manor sounds bad.
Splatter Manor's work. I'm going to call my pants Splatter Manor.
Fine. And you can make get some laughs with that.
I did.
But it's not.
Thank you. Thank you. I did. Anyway,
House of Pickle Sound Show, everybody.
Soho Radio.
But you can just go on Mixcloud now.
And look it up.
Something's changed with the algorithms or whatever.
Whatever.
But they're just there on Mixcloud. If you go, I think the search function on Mixcloud has improved.
Good.
So you just put House of Pickle Sound Show into Mixcloud.
Yeah.
And the show will come up.
Right, good. Thank you. And now
you don't have to go even anywhere else.
But you're done here. Okay. Right. And our guest this evening, Tom Mayhew. Thank you for joining us on Cheap Show again.
That's all right. Thank you for having me. And thank you for the, I don't want to call it a game, the experience of Steve Davis's Pot Black.
You could play it on your podcast and maybe make it better by adding something fun to it. You know what I mean? Think outside the box.
I don't know how I'd make this better.
You could cover it in like challenges and dares. If you pot a red, you got to make a teabag disappear or something on your person. You got to hide a teabag on your pants.
What?
I don't know. I'm just thinking it through, innit?
You're not thinking anything through there.
I've got a suggestion.
No, I have a suggestion.
No, to be fair to Paul, I think we will try that. We'll play it. And if we miss, we'll put...
teabag in your pants.
A teabag in our pants. I think that's a great idea, Paul. Well done. Very good idea.
Yeah, you know why?
Sometimes I think you have to encourage him. Well done, Paul. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a PG tip, isn't it?
Hey!
Because of tea, isn't it? You fucking cunts. Both of you, fuck off. Right, Tom, tell
Jesus
us where people
Christ.
Can find... Tom,
way to own the episode, Paul.
Tom, give us all the juicy details around people can follow you, listen to things you do, follow you online, meet you in the street, whatever.
Yeah, if you want to hear me put the teabag down my pants, then it is the Snooker Loopy podcast. It is a comedy snooker podcast where we mainly sort of take the piss out of the weird characters on the snooker scene.
Nice.
Also a bit of chat about weird kind of snooker paraphernalia from the past. So we've talked about like we can talk about put Steve Davis's Pop Black. We've talked about like a snooker calendar from the 80s when they used to actually be weird old men that you'd have on a calendar. I don't know why you do that, but we've talked about songs released by people like Jimmy White and Hurricane Higgins. So many dreadful songs by snooker players. So if you like the sound of that, then please do tune in. Also, I'm on YouTube, Twitter, even though I hate Twitter now.
Yeah, no one likes Twitter.
Everybody
now
hates it, but you can find me on social media and keep supporting Cheap Show
and
because it's great.
Is your Tom Mayhew's Benefit Scum still on BBC Sounds or...
The first series is on my YouTube channel and the second series is on BBC Sounds.
Well, there you go. Definitely check that out because seriously, two fantastic pieces of radio comedy and I tip my hat to him. Fair play. Lovely stuff.
Oh, thanks, mate.
And what else?
That's it, we need to finish.
No, this has been a much longer episode than we all expected.
It's always longer when there's a guest.
It's
like almost, if you did it as in terms, if there was a correlation between number of people doing the podcast and how long, like that'd be a third more or like 50% more.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how long it'd be if we played a whole frame?
That was a fucking terrible game.
Or if we did a best of 35.
No, it wouldn't
minus
even be that.
Harriet's.
Minus Harriet's?
Yes. That game gets minus Harriet.
Yeah.
Anti-Chevs.
Oh, okay.
Anti-Chevs.
Wow.
Well, it's definitely getting no Ramses from me tonight.
No fucking Ramses around here.
Right, in that case, let's all say goodbye and end this fucking episode. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye. 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 Bye.